1 in 166. That's right. 1 in 166 children will be diagnosed with an autism spectrum disorder. And one of those could be your child. Knowing what to look for and catching it early could make a world of difference to your child and you.
So, Mom, while you're remembering to protect me from the unthinkable, don't dismiss the possible.
To learn the signs of autism and what to do, go to AutismSpeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Do you overcook your pasta? Do you mix your lights with your darks and tell long, complicated jokes that have no punchline? Do you have trouble wrapping gifts? Sound like a hyena when singing happy birthday and have no idea how the metric system works? Well, if you answered yes to any of the above questions, you may have what it takes to adopt a teen from foster care, because teens don't need perfection. They need you. So if you can't tie a Windsor knot, forget to defrost the chicken, can't tell a latte from a cappuccino, confuse North and South Dakota, overuse commas, throw a frisbee like it's a flounder, and still believe kids really do love lima beans, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts, it's okay. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. For more information on how you can adopt, call 1-888-200-4005 or go to AdoptUsKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
I'm Rashida Ali Walsh, author and daughter of Muhammad Ali. Parkinson's disease afflicts 1 million people in the United States and Canada. My dad knows that people affected by Parkinson's disease can have meaningful and productive lives. New guidelines from the American Academy of Neurology help neurologists make early, accurate diagnoses and optimize proven and effective therapies. The guidelines also promote screening and treatment of hallucinations, depression, and dementia, which affect many people with Parkinson's disease. They help neurologists track how quickly the disease may progress and tailor treatment, which may include drugs, surgery, exercise, or physical therapy accordingly. Patients should have regular contact with a neurologist to find the correct treatment for them and to help maintain optimal quality of life. Bottom line, the guidelines help improve the care and the lives of people with Parkinson's disease. For more information on the guidelines, visit the American Academy of Neurology at AAN.com.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the wake-up call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you discern? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how do you discern?
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below that below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
struggle against the common enemies of man: tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Is affordable health insurance. Finding affordable health insurance for you and your family, it's on everyone's mind right now. If you're self-employed, it's on your mind too. One of the things we face as entrepreneurial Americans is finding affordable health insurance. Well, I found a company you can call right now and get affordable health insurance. Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee. Write this number down. 877-652-7793. That's 877-652-7793. Midwest specializes in helping entrepreneurs of all kinds, those of us who run small businesses or don't get health insurance where we work, to protect our families with affordable health insurance. Call 877-652-7793. Not available in all states. Association membership is required in most states. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Exclusions and limitations apply.
Is your church, school, or nonprofit organization holding an upcoming event, or does it have an ongoing program? We can help you get the word out free of charge here at WGNU. Just send a flyer or written information to WGNU Radio, Public Service Department, 265 Union Boulevard, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108. We ask 2 weeks lead time for any upcoming event. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject any submission due to content and time considerations.
Tune in every Thursday at noon till 1 p.m. on WGNU 920 on the AM dial. You can talk to Dr. Walker and her guests weekly to discuss health and medical issues. Nurse Wanda always has information that you won't want to miss. Every show is different, and talking to Dr. Walker is always fun. Call 314-454-0400. You can also listen to Dr. Walker's Medical Hour on the Internet. Log on to WGNU.net. Click on Listen Live.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
What you don't understand, my words might never explain. So I am hoping that I will. Things may not go as you planned. Dark clouds might bring you pain.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get up, you need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get up. Get to me. My goodness gracious, we have stuff to talk about. You know, there are a number of things that are coming up in our community. We have candlelight vigil tomorrow at City Hall on behalf of our education and against the state takeover. And I think that this is going to be a very unique opportunity for people to come down to the to City Hall at 3:30 tomorrow. And I'm asking all of you, I realize that it's a bit short notice, but I would ask and to many of you as that possibly can to come down to City Hall tomorrow at 3:30. Because it's against this state takeover. They were supposed to have the meeting this week, but it doesn't look like they're going to, but I don't know. So one of the things that we have to do is to continue to gather. We must continue to gather, and there is a candlelight vigil in front of City Hall tomorrow at 3:30. Tomorrow at 3:30. It is really, really imperative that folks come down. It is going to be a serious statement about what is going on in the St. Louis, what's going on in Jefferson City against our schools. And we have a lot of legislators that are pandering to this issue, and I mean on the wrong side of this issue. A number of folks that are our recent adventurers, if you will, into this issue. But most of you out here are people that have been involved in this school piece since Roberti came to town, and many, many, many of you even before that. And we have an election coming up, a school board election coming up. So I think that that's another reason why we need to show make a show of strength tomorrow, that's Wednesday, at 3:30 in front of City Hall. So I'm asking you all to come out on that day and participate. It's going to be a very, very, very important event. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, that's revolution@lizbrown.com. I want to make a comment on I don't know, it's one of those telling points about our nation. There's going to be a documentary, I believe, sometime this week, on the meth problem in Montana, an HBO special. And in this special, you're going to see these kids and adults, fathers and sons, shooting up meth. You're going to see the devastation of meth, the problem of meth, how easy meth is to go to Kalispell, Montana, and walk onto any mall lot, shopping mall lot, and you'll be able to pick up a bag of meth. And this one 22-year-old young woman is shown shooting meth into a vein in her neck. And she says in this documentary that is the sober people don't understand how good you can feel. That this is the best feeling that no sober person could ever know, has ever known, this kind of good feeling. You can't breathe for a second, you can't see for a second, you can't hear for a second, and then this drug-induced high comes over you. And what was fascinating to me was the discussion about meth. You know how they're going to? Now, this is a statewide problem. Montana is concerned about how the state of Montana will be viewed after people see this HBO special on meth use. My observation comes from a different place. I remember when there was the scourge of cocaine and crack within the community, within urban communities. It was all over the country, but there was a focus on the urban community. And we had movies coming out of Hollywood celebrating or highlighting that life and then encouraging this police response to this that was unprecedented. Three strikes and you're out came out of that. Crack cocaine versus powder cocaine sentencing guidelines came out of that. You had to search hard, far and wide to hear anybody whisper the word treatment. Yet I heard the Attorney General of Montana saying, you know what their response to the scourge of this drug of, and remember, meth is something that crack cocaine, powder cocaine could never be. Babies die suckling at their mothers who are on meth. Meth does stuff that crack cocaine has never done. Cocaine has never done. And yet, what was the Attorney General of Montana saying after he saw this film? Because they screened this HBO special in front of legislators. They all came out and just said, oh, my God, we've got to get treatment. Huh? Why aren't you locking them up for 35, 40 years? You know what the Attorney General said? He said, why would we spend $30,000 or $300,000 to lock somebody up for this, and then they'd come out just a hardened criminal? Huh? Huh? It was fine and dandy when it was cocaine in urban areas. So now, and I'm down with it. That's how cocaine should have been dealt with. The Attorney General of Montana has said, you know what our biggest, we're really proud of? A series of commercials that they put out about drug prevention. Ain't that some stuff? Ain't that some stuff? The Attorney General, the chief law enforcement officer said, why would we lock them up? They just come out hardened criminals. You think? Is it about the crime, or is it about those who stand accused of the crime? 1-877-920-WGNU. David.
How are you doing this morning?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I can say I respect you more and more, but that would be just ridiculous. I always had the same respect for you, and it's great.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. Well, look, I want to get on this topic because I think it deals with imagery. And I think it's real evident what has been happening with us, that our image around this planet has been put out there as a negative. And I don't think people have a real good understanding of what's going on, because we really want to be loved. We want to be accepted. And it's very difficult at this point. And examples like what you're putting out right now, where you can compare, is the shocking reality of what's really happening to us. And I just hope people start understanding what we have to do. We have to form these communities amongst ourselves, amongst other Africans, everywhere we find them, and start doing business, start loving and appreciating each other, and then we can start moving forward. Can't move forward if you just accept that you're inferior, or you want to assimilate with somebody else and give up everything you got. It's ridiculous.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
My name is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
morning, St. Louis, 29 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for the 6 o'clock hour. Northbound 55 from Merrimack Bottom through Butler Hill. Look for it to be stop and go traffic due to an accident. Two lanes are blocked, and it's the two right lanes are closed, and it's north of Butler Hill at this hour. Eastbound 70 between Bryan Road and 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 between Lindbergh and McKnight, and again from Maryville Center through Mason Road, look for slow traffic there. Northbound 270 from 44 through Doherty Ferry, look for slow traffic. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry into Graham Hanley, look for slow traffic going on there. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street into the Poplar Street Bridge, you can expect some delays there. Westbound 64 from the Bow Avenue all the way into the 5570 split, look for slowdowns. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 at 70, look for slow traffic in the right lanes as you approach the 70 exits. And eastbound 270, or eastbound 70 between 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to mostly sun, partly cloudy skies, excuse me, with a high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy. Becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 60. Wednesday, mostly cloudy. Chance of showers and thunderstorms high in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy once again. Another good chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, cooler, 50% chance of showers with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 50 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 53. Both under clear skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Congresswoman Maxine Waters. No matter where I am in the world, I can always get the information I need from the Wake Up Call with my friend Liz Brown.
This is Mitch Washington of the St. Louis office of Edward Jones, located at 200 North Broadway downtown, inviting you to tune in to Radio Free St. Louis for the WGNU Stock Market Recap, weekday afternoons immediately following the 3:30 traffic update. Find out how your investments are doing and how the numbers on Wall Street are affecting you. That's the WGNU Stock Market Recap with me, Mitch Washington, weekday afternoons at 3:30 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, St. Louis, this is Syl Wilson. Be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl.
Excellent.
We'll talk about what I want to talk about, then we can talk about what you want to talk about, then we can talk about what I want to talk about again. So be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. See you then.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy, investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
This is the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. You know what my name is? My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of things to talk about. 454-0400, 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get up, get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get to me. Lee, good morning.
Yeah, I'm glad that you decided today to talk about the disparity and how the legislators view drugs, who's on drugs, and what should be done about people who use drugs and sell drugs. I think at the beginning, it has been a conspiracy to try to find a way to put black people in jail from the start. I mean, these crazy black people on this dope, they go wild, they go crazy, they're a threat to the white community, so let's find a way to put them in jail and lock them up. I don't know what we can do, but we got to do something to point out the disparity in this sentencing on this cocaine and this crack, because it's a 100-to-1 ratio. That's unjust.
Oh, it's it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous.
Mean, and I hate to say it, Ms. Brown, you know, I'm an ex-offender. I'm wrong. I'm sorry for what I did. There's no way I could actually justify what I did. But when I was in jail and I saw how many of us was in there compared to how many of them was in there, it was ridiculous. We only make up 12% of the population in most, but over 40 to 50% of us in jail with them, it doesn't seem to make sense to me, Ms. Brown. So, like, again, I can't take back what I did. I know it was wrong, and I'm living my life a lot differently than I did back then. But the point is, white people do drugs, too. They use drugs just like black people use drugs and deal drugs. Why is it that so many of us end up in jail with these long sentences? Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It is intentional, is what it is. One of the things that I talked about yesterday on my show was this new thing that is happening in a legislation in South Carolina that is being pursued, legislation for that would allow prisoners to give up their organs for 180-day early release.
See, that right there is absolutely ridiculous. First of all, if you're in jail, you don't know the amount of power that these type of people have over your life. I mean, it's like you don't have any more freedom of movement.
But in addition to that, Lee, what it is also is you were asking the question, we were having the discussion about why the focus on people, on incarceration and incarceration of people of African descent. When you look at this, we have a prison industry that is now making billions of dollars off of incarcerating people from the obscene telephone charges that they charge people, obscene things that they pay people for, or that make people pay for, from the money that they're getting back from people. And then there's also, on the other side of this, the way to create a entity that a person is part of, or institution that a person is part of, you take away all kinds of people's choices. You can't get a job if you've been arrested. Okay, you can't get student loans if you have a record. You cannot get certain type of social welfare care if you've been arrested or you've been incarcerated. So what do you want to do to people? You want people to go back into the jails so that there's a cheap labor force to replace the undocumented workers that they're chasing out of the United States. Now is it going to be organ farms as well? There's a reason for this. There's a method behind this madness.
Well, Ms. Brown, a lot of times when people first get to prison, they are desperate and they will do anything they can to get out or to try to fit in or to try to keep themselves out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the right thing to do. A desperate person, you offering this person time off.
But wait a minute.
His organs?
Wait a minute, Lee. I don't think you caught the major part of this. They're offering this piece of legislation that's being introduced in South Carolina is offering a lousy 180 days. They're not offering a year off. They're not offering 2 years off. They're offering 180 days off your sentence for your kidney. for your lung, for giving up some. And then we got to ask the question of, do you think you're going to live if you go on the table and give up your kidney? You think you're not, you think
I'm
that.
I'm going to tell you, Ms. Brown, I've been to jail and I know the type of care that they give you while you're there. It is not a thoroughgoing type of care that you get when you're at these institutions.
Oh, I bet you'll get great care if you're giving up your kidney. They're going to make sure that that kidney that they take from you is just fine. Now, how you end up on the table, oh, well, that's a whole other conversation.
I wouldn't want to go into the night for 6 months. Personally, you're going to give me 6 months. But I'm gone, Ms. Brown. I got to go to work.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-W, 6 months. You give up a kidney, you get 6 months off. You know what? Kiss my grits. 6 months. 6 months. Would you give up your kidney for 6 months? Would you give up your lung for 6 months? And remember, they could mess with you and take away that 6 months. There's no guarantee. Oh, you need to let me out for 6 months. Then we'd have the conversation. There's no guarantee. And who would hear you cry? Tim.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
I also want to comment on the drug law. Also, I'm an ex-offender myself. I just want to say that, like, you had somebody on your show, I guess a couple of weeks ago, about the, you guys were talking about the collateral damage that drug offenses do, the collateral damage it causes. I want to say one thing that was not talked about is the probation or supervised release. That's a huge problem on ex-offenders like myself. You do 4, 5, 6, 7, whatever years you do in jail. Then like me, I have like 5 years supervised release. That is harder on me before I even started in the drug
game. Right, right.
You know,
that's a lot of paper to walk down.
That's a lot of paper. I've been out since 2004, but the problem is, you know, the jobs are not out there for it, and your PO is constantly on your back, and only jobs out there making $6-$7 an hour, and they try to stay through these job fairs, and they're not hiring nobody. So, like I'm saying, I'm under more pressure now under supervised release than now when I first started out selling drugs.
Mm.
And, you know, a lot of people don't look at it like that, you know, well, at least you out, but it's harder now, and, you know, a lot of parole officers, they don't give you no slack, and, you know, it makes it harder, and it's like we want you to do something bad.
So we can get you right back in. So we can get you right back in again.
You know, it's pathetic. And last thing I want to say, I tried to pay myself to barber school, and my PO got on my back from asking me where I get the money to pay myself to barber school. A lot of POs do not want ex-offenders going to barber school or being barbers because it's a cash money, you know, business. And it's a shame that, you know, they want to see where your money comes from. They don't want you making any type of cash money. I just think that's pathetic.
It is designed to create a constant prison population as part of our society for free labor, for what now we have to even consider organ donations. There's reason behind this madness.
I was looking at USA Today yesterday. And it was talking about the sentencing law yesterday in Congress. It said sometime later this year they're going to try to, you know, make it equal between powder cocaine and crack cocaine. It was in USA Today.
Yesterday. Thank you. Thanks so much. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. There will be a candlelight vigil. It's critical because the vote for giving Francis Slade. This is why I told all y'all why Jeff Smith was a problem to our community. First piece of legislation that Jeff Smith does. Why do you think Francis Slade was supporting him? First piece of legislation that Jeff Smith introduces is a legislation that gives Francis Slade, the architect behind the assault on and the failure of the loss of 26 accreditation points of in the St. Louis public schools. The vote on whether or not Francis Slade should be given the authority to sponsor a charter school will take place on Wednesday. Y'all need to be down at City Hall for the candlelight vigil at 3:30 on Wednesday. There is a reason why we need to be out. The vote is supposed to take place on Wednesday. We need to be out on Wednesday. These are all interrelated. We killed the voucher bill. Yahoo to us. 1,200 of us gathered a few weeks ago. We won the Lewis Reed race. There's more work to be done. We need to be down at City Hall tomorrow at 3:30. I'm going to talk to you about a candidates forum, school board candidates forum when I come back. Oh, we have much business to tend to, much stuff to talk about. I see you on the line. I'll get to you when I get back. Stay with me.
Hi, this is Danny Glover, and you're listening to The Wake Up Call with Liz Brown on WGNU.
People can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free information. DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean. Be fit. Be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fee. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up, you need to get to me, my goodness gracious. We have a lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get up, get up, get up, get to me. A reminder, tomorrow at 3:30, we will be gathering in front of City Hall for a candlelight vigil. Wednesday, and that will be tomorrow, there is a bill that is supposed to be voted on giving Francis Slay the authority to sponsor a charter school, obligating the district, and then also any other university that wants to come in and grab our money and sponsor a charter school. They're trying to rape us. And this bill was introduced by Jeff Smith. And we've got to stop the bloodletting. We have been so successful this year. We have fought so hard. We've had so many victories this year. It is time to continue on the fight. Wednesday at 3:30 in front of City Hall, please be there. Candlelight vigil, I need you there. It's important that we be there. We have to keep the pressure up because the week after next, we're headed up to Jefferson City for the vote on our district. So we've got to keep the pressure up tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall. And I'm inviting all of the school board candidates to be part of that candlelight vigil. Then there's an opportunity for you on Saturday at the International Urban Institute, a candidates forum. The seven candidates running for St. Louis Public Schools have been invited to be participants in this candidates forum. The forum will take place at the Fire Building. That's 1020 North Taylor, starting at 9 a.m. That's the International Urban Institute. The event is free, open to the public and the press. For more information, you can call 535-8990, 535-8990. Michael.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Radio rules.
All right now.
It's also more about the convict surgery.
Mm-hmm.
There's more to it than that. It may not be a possibility that she'll survive the surgery.
That is correct. Then they get a whole lot of organs to take out you, don't they?
Yes, they do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, it is. There is this is one bill. I don't know of any other state that has done this or that is doing this or that's even in the process of doing this. But this is one bill out of South Carolina where there is a completely disproportionate number of people of African descent in jails and people that are – they don't have a public defender system. They put people in – they have a horrible death penalty record. And they have a institution or a plan of putting all kinds of people in jail. So what are they saying? Okay, we have all these people sitting here. We got the free labor out of them. Why not get their give their organs up? And the one legislature that's introducing this piece of legislation, it has said, well, this will make the people that are incarcerated feel better about themselves, huh? Huh? You don't ask them when they're out of jail. You ask them while they're in jail. How will it make them feel better for themselves to get a lousy 180 days for giving up your kidney or your lung?
Not to mention, too, you have to have medicine to compensate for that loss.
That's
as well.
Fact. That's a fact. Thanks for your call, Michael.
Take care.
You too. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. This is another reason why you need to be down at City Hall at 3:30 tomorrow. Because charter schools is really just another way of privatization. Let's call it what it is. Y'all have heard about how the soldiers sat up in Walter Reed Hospital. How the soldiers sat up in Walter Reed Hospital, the crown jewel, supposedly, of that part of our nation that takes care of soldiers. You heard how they sat up there in Walter Reed with fruit flies so thick around them the sky was black. With black molding hanging from doorways, with people going to the bathroom and looking up in the ceiling, and you could see the room above you. Told you about that story, talked to you about that story, been talking to you about that story. Want to know how messed up, why it's so messed up? You want to know why the St. Louis Public Schools got so messed up? It's the P word, privatization. Because you see, our good government, the United States Army, hoorah, United States Army, decided to privatize Walter Reed Medical Center. What a surprise. They privatized the support workforce at the hospital, which left the buildings filthy. You think? Go to St. Louis Public Schools after Bill Roberti and Francis Slay wanted to made the decision to privatize, give tens of millions of dollars to companies that don't do jack, that cut our custodian force down. The buildings are filthy. When did they privatize? Well, when did Boy George come into office? Last year, IAP, a worldwide services, a contractor with connections to the Bush administration, and come on, you can say it. You can say, guess who else they had contacts with? Guess who else they had connections with? Come on, you can say it. You know. Think. Dubai. Halliburton. Halliburton is cleaning up Walter Reed Hospital. And it's nasty. What are the odds? Last year, a firm, IAP, who has connections to Boy George and Halliburton, $120 million to maintain and operate Walter Reed facilities. How'd that work out for us? And not only did they get this contract, $120 million, friends of Boy George and Halliburton subsidiary, they got this contract even though the decision to give it to them reversed a 2004 finding that by the Army that it would be more cost effective to keep the work in-house, just like here in the city of St. Louis. And that's why you need to be at the candlelight vigil tomorrow at 3:30. Because when Francis Slay decided, along with Bill Roberti, to privatize our schools, the maintenance of our schools, the same thing happened. $120 million. You want to know why Walter Reed is so messed up? You want to know? Because of privatization. 1-877-920-WGNU. Bill.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I have a comment. I used to live in Washington, D.C. years ago, and I'm pretty sure that all the employees that worked at Walter Reed, and just about all of the employees, I'm sure all of the employees that work in D.C. for the government, they are government employees, right?
I would think so.
So when the one thing I don't get about the story is the privatization. You know, that the people that are working for the contractors, they're not government employees anymore.
That is correct. Part of the story, Bill, is also includes the American Federation of Government Employees. That's the largest federal workers union.
Right.
They had protested this back when it happened.
Right.
So they got rid of the federal workers in order to accommodate this Halliburton subsidiary and give them $120 million. They got rid of federal workers.
Yeah, but most of the people that worked in facilities management for the government of D.C., a large ratio of those people were of African descent.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if the contractors' people were African descent or what.
What do you think?
I'd like to find that out.
What do you think?
I don't think they are.
Oh, well, there you go. Thanks for your call, Bill.
Hi.
D.
Good morning, Dr. Brown.
How are you?
Excellent, as are you. You know, the most of the people that work for the government are not government employees. They're not government employees. They are contractors.
Mm.
They're privatization, too. There's so many people that work for the even delivering our mail.
Mm.
You know how what they're trying to do with the IRS now.
That's right.
Reported
on it many times.
Right. But anyway, not only is Walter Reed bad, people better take note of their own hospitals and people who think they got insurances. Really doesn't. They better read between the fine print.
That's fact.
Thanks, doctor.
All right. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back. Stay with me.
Peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can you sit
there? But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
The issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. There were some very candid comments from the nation's top general.
I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral and that we should not condone immoral acts.
Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace in an interview with the Chicago Tribune. More from ABC's Jonathan Carl at the Pentagon.
General Pace's comments are sure to spark a firestorm on Capitol Hill, where Democrats have been trying to overturn the Pentagon's don't ask, don't tell policy on gays in the military. Pace made it clear he supports the ban on openly gay people serving because he believes homosexual acts are immoral.
We should not condone immoral acts.
A spokesperson for General Pace tells ABC News the general was asked to give his personal opinion, and, quote, he provided it. Jonathan Carl, ABC News, the Pentagon.
A military trial begins later today at Fort Campbell, Kentucky, for a staff sergeant accused of ordering his soldiers to kill three Iraqi captives. Ray Gerard denies giving the orders. The charges stem from a raid on a suspected militant camp in Samarra. The subprime mortgage industry is on the verge of collapse. Here's ABC Stephen Portnoy.
Analyst Ivy Zellman says over the past decade, it's been way too easy for buyers to get home loans they can't afford.
It was the don't worry about it, we'll worry about it tomorrow. And guess what? Tomorrow has arrived. And everybody, you know, you're paying the piper now.
More than two dozen mortgage companies have gone under. The biggest so-called subprime lender is on the brink of bankruptcy. And an increasing number of homeowners in over their heads now face foreclosure. Stephen Portnoy, ABC News, Washington.
President Bush visits today with Mexican President Calderon. He'll talk about drug trafficking and immigration. Van Halen performed with just two of the band's members at last night's Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Eddie Van Halen's in rehab. The group's lead singer, the first one, David Lee Roth, boycotted the show. This is ABC News.
I have been a vegetarian my whole life.
You've always wanted to know who's on Match.com, and we want you to know it's okay to look.
Some guy offered me $50 to eat a buffalo wing, but I refused. I was like, I'm not putting my morality on the line for your $50.
Her Match.com username is Kumnandi, and you can email her right now. Go ahead. We guarantee if you don't find someone special within 6 months, we'll give you 6 months free. Visit the all-new Match.com for details.
When was the last time you got a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Look, your tax problem could get worse unless you get help. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation. You could save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call 800-539-9208. That's 800-539-9208.
Spring break is not just one long liquor-soaked party for all college students. Here's ABC's Donna Rapado.
Providence College sophomore Christina Everett and her friends chose Miami for spring break, as do thousands of college students. But the girls came to build homes with Habitat for Humanity. Here, 7 days, they get just one day off. That's when the girls ran into classmates.
It was our day off, and like they were here like vacationing. And so we were like, oh, take a little bit of the beach and, you know, we'll work tomorrow.
Paint, drill, saw, nail, tar, you name it. Hundreds of college students do it. Exhausted at the end of the day, they rest on air mattresses at local churches. where they also share bathrooms. Donna Rapato, ABC News, Miami.
Not everything in Vegas stays in Vegas. A legendary Stardust Casino, a fixture on the Strip for years, was imploded today. This woman made sure to catch it.
Amazing. I love that. It's the first community thing in Las Vegas that I've done, and it's absolutely awesome.
A new casino will be built on the site of the Stardust. I'm Daria Aldinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandsmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, Madison County prosecutors want probation revoked for a teacher accused of sexual abuse. 29-year-old Michael Vondero of Edwardsville is accused of making sexual advances toward one of his students. The Madison County State's Attorney's Office says Vondero hasn't been participating in sex offender counseling. Vondero was fired from Metro East Lutheran High School after being arrested in 2003. He pleaded guilty in 2004 and was placed on probation for 3 years and ordered to give up his teaching certificate. A hearing on the probation issue is scheduled for tomorrow. MoDOT has begun repairing area bridges. Yesterday morning, workers began measuring the overpasses at Holly Hills and Delore over Highway 55. Last week, a 25-ton piece of concrete fell off the Delore Bridge, injuring a motorist below. MoDOT says it hopes to restrict the work to the actual overpasses and not affect the traffic on the roads below. MoDOT says that it inspected all of the area bridges, and many of them need a major overhaul since they were built in the 1960s. Finally this hour, Alex Tangay and Jerome McGinley scored in the shootout last night as the Flames defeated the Blues 5-4 in Calgary. Lee Stempniak scored twice for the Note, and Christian Backman and Peter Cianik also notched goals in the losing effort. St. Louis is in third place in the Western Conference Central Division with a 29-29-10 record and 68 points. They return to the ice on Thursday night in Vancouver against the Canucks. The puck drops at 9 o'clock. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandsmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Northbound 55 between 141 and Butler Hill. Serious accident north of Butler Hill. 4 right lanes are closed. 2 left lanes remain open. Expect stop-and-go traffic down there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79. Look for slow traffic. Eastbound 40 from Spady through McKnight. Look for slow traffic there as well. Westbound 270 at Old Halls Ferry through West Florissant. You can expect some delays there. Northbound 270 from Dorset through 70. Look for slow traffic in the right lanes as you exit onto Highway 70. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for slow traffic. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is slow. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. That ramp is a little sluggish at the top. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank through the landing. Look for some delays there. Northbound 55 from 3200 South Broadway into 44. And then again from Butler Hill through 270. Look for some delays there as well. Also look for westbound 270 from Illinois Route 3 on the Chain of Rocks Bridge. You can expect some blowdowns going on there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, partly cloudy skies, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy till becoming mostly cloudy overnight with a low around 64. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a 30% chance of showers, even a possible thunderstorm. The high will be in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another good chance for showers with a low in the mid-50s. And Thursday, cooler, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers, a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 52 degrees under partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 53. Stay tuned now for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, drop me the sky. I think I'm hearing revolution.
it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress has been made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers, talking sisters.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up, get up, get up, get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Get up, get to me. I want to remind you all that there is a very important candlelight vigil tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall, downtown St. Louis. We have the Francis Slay asking for, with the help of Jeff Smith, charter schools that to give Francis Slay the ability to open up and sponsor his own charter school. There's legislation that's pending right now in Jefferson City. It's supposed to be voted on tomorrow. We need to be downtown in front of City Hall. We have to keep this energy going tomorrow at 3:30 downtown in front of City Hall. Candlelight Vigil, 3:30 tomorrow. 3:30 tomorrow. All kinds of things that are going on. I'm looking at this whole privatized Walter Reed workforce piece. That it turns out that all of the, the problems that we're seeing at Walter Reed, it's not just the privatization, but it certainly speaks to what's happening in your government, how people view your government, how a Francis Slay, how a George W. Bush views your government as a money-making opportunity for their friends. Halliburton, who is moving to Dubai so they don't have to pay any taxes after all of the gluttonous act of stealing our stuff and doing crummy work. Guess what? Halliburton is behind the company that has privatized Walter Reed. Major General George Whiteman, who was Walter Reed's commander until he was relieved last week, testified last week that privatization in combination with the decision by the Pentagon in 2005 to close Walter Reed by 2011 absolutely contributed to the problem. You think? My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Get a free Razor cell phone delivered free to your door. Don't want a free Razor? Then go to letstalk17.com and choose from hundreds of other free phones. Join 500,000 users who found the smartest way to buy their cell phones. Never pay retail again. At letstalk17.com, you can compare prices on phones and service plans from all the major carriers. Find the coolest new phone at the coolest price. Find the best current special offers. Read what folks have to say about their phones and plans. They actually rate and review their phones and service plans so you know which ones to pick. Do it all in the comfort of your own home. If your plan is ending, now's your chance. Try your new phone risk-free for 7 days with free 48-hour shipping. Letstalk17.com is the only way to get the absolute best deal possible. Right now, get a free Razor after $50 mail-in rebate. This is an exclusive online offer at letstalk17.com. New two-year service plan agreement required. One-time wireless activation and early termination fees may apply. Go to letstalk17.com. That's letstalk17.com.
Prizes awarded on WGNU will be held for pickup at the radio station for 30 days. After 30 days, all items become the sole property of WGNU Radio to be disposed of at our discretion. In the case of event tickets, tickets will be held for 30 days or until the date of the event, whichever comes first. Prizes must be picked up at our studios, which are located at 265 Union Boulevard in St. Louis, unless otherwise specified.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name, my name, my name. Say my name. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. My name is Liz Brown. Get to me. I don't know. Sometimes it just feels like we just provide on this show that we just talk about things that turn out to be. Remember how we were talking about some months ago about how this housing market is going to crash and that the people that were going to suffer the most were these people that got these. There was a saying in the real estate industry, if you can fog up a mirror, you're going to get a home loan. They were handing out home loans to people that had no business getting them. Now, what's the repercussions of that? Check this out. A woman by the name of Sharon Lewis is facing a 50% hike. Let me say that again. 50% hike in the payment of her adjustable rate mortgage next month. And then she just learned this week that she can't qualify for the new loan with payments that she can afford. Now, she says that she's willing to sell her home that she's owned for 2 years, but she's told that it won't fetch the price that she paid for it. On Friday, the Cabanas-based Countrywide Financial Corp, the nation's number one mortgage lender, told brokers it would stop making adjustable rate loans covering 100% of the home's values for customers with low credit scores and unverifiable incomes. Check this out. This is shocking to me. This is shocking. This payment is shocking to me. There's one woman who, her loan is $4,000 a month. This is a $700,000 house. $4,000 a month. She had no down payment and a spotty credit record. Now, help me with this. How does anyone get into a $700,000
$100,000 house with no down payment and spotty credit. Come on. And she's making $4,000 a month on payments. And she pre-qualified for a $700,000 house. Now, she also was willing to take on two loans to cover 100% of the cost. Now, she says, I wasn't completely aware of the mortgage terms, but I knew it would adjust in 2 years. So I figured property prices are going up. It would be a good time for me to buy. I knew I was in trouble, she said, the very next month after her family moved in. She shopped around for a new loan. She couldn't find one that would keep her monthly payment at its current level of $4,000. And because her house hasn't risen in value, she can't use equity as a down payment on refinancing. Starting next month, her payments are going to be $6,000 a month. She's in a $700,000 house that she got into with no down payment. It's overwhelming, that the woman says. She hopes she can sell her home within the next few months so she can at least break even after closing costs before she misses too many payments. This is the, you know, we hear the words all the time from this administration about how great things are out here. No, they're not. No, they are not. Now they're saying that, well, we're not going to be issuing any more of these loans, you think? And as loan standards tighten for these subprime and alternate A borrowers, as many as 1.1 million people could be closed out of the housing market this year. Mm. 1-877-920-WGNU. This woman is 30-something years old. Somebody need to talk to her. She got a $700,000 home that she's paying $4,000 a month and a mortgage on. And they shouldn't have, she shouldn't have done it. She should have read her terms. Oh, we're going to be hearing more about this story. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Now, I think that things are a little bit different now that the Democrats are in a majority. They're not perfect. They're not fixed. And it still takes us to claim the agenda of this. But one of the things to me that shows a little bit of difference is I told you yesterday that Halliburton is moving to Dubai. Remember Halliburton, once run by Dick Cheney. Halliburton has gotten billions and billions of dollars of contract work, whether it's Hurricane Katrina or, and this is irrespective of the type of work they do. I mean, quality work they do, because they don't. Well, apparently there's going to be a hearing on it looks like there might be a hearing on this decision by Halliburton to move to Dubai. Patrick Leahy, the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, said, "It's an example of corporate greed at its worst. This is an insult to U.S. soldiers and taxpayers who paid the tab for their no-bid contracts and endured their overcharges all these years. At the same time, they'll be avoiding U.S. taxes. I'm sure they won't stop, insisting on taking their profits in cold, hard U.S. cash." Ouch. That's a statement that makes the news when it didn't used to. So Halliburton and its former KBR subsidiary have been under investigation since Halliburton was awarded a no-bid $2.4 billion contract. And they were given that contract the day before we went into, we invaded Iraq. Ain't life sweet? KBR agreed last year to pay the U.S. government $8 million to settle fraud claims related to an Army supply contract. Halliburton says, we're relocating to Dubai on business grounds. We have over 38% of our $13 billion oil field service revenue. Well, it's generated from the Eastern Hemisphere. Cut and run, baby. Jeff.
Hey, what's up, Liz?
How you doing?
I wanted to comment about Halliburton.
Mm-hmm.
What one of the other reasons why Halliburton wants to, and I wouldn't doubt, maybe Bechtel is probably going to try to do the same thing, it's because the reason they want to relocate over there is to avoid the payoffs after the Bush administration. See, for when Dick Cheney was CEO, Dick Cheney had only worked there for about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he took it from like a 58, about a $10 billion a year company to about a $58 billion a year company. And they paid him so much money before he became the vice president. I personally believe that they're trying to fly under the radar, because when Dick Cheney gets out of office, it's time to pay back.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and also, I mean, there's tax avoidance.
Taxes probably, like you said, probably primarily the most important reason they're trying to avoid the IRS.
It is the most galling and audacious thing to do in the midst of everything. Oh, by the way, after we get a $2.4 billion no-bid contract, good hard cold American cash, we're out of here.
We can't count for a lot of that money, because my understanding is that the way they're dispersing the money over in Iraq, they would do something. I'm just exaggerating, but this is how it usually works. They'll give somebody like $25 million cash to go build a bridge.
There you go.
And then there's no accountability.
There you go.
In the meantime, Dick Cheney is saying, we're undermining the president.
Yeah, I guess we are, if we're making people look at things he doesn't want us to see. That is undermining him, because once we see the stuff he doesn't want us to see, George Bush is not going to have a job.
That's right.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And maybe it's an overstatement to say that George Bush won't have a job. I know that people are working on the impeachment piece of this. But I can say this with most certainty, that undermining George W. Bush also includes undermining his legacy. That the last few days of the reign of George W. Bush, it's okay to be a dictator as long as I get to be a dictator. I'm the decider. Mission accomplished. More vacations than any other president in the history of the United States. The legacy, given what's happening right now, the legacy of George W. Bush is going to be a dismal one. And the more conversations we have, the more exposures we have, the more hearings we have, it's just going to be a death nail in the legacy of a boy George. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and weather for this 7 o'clock hour. Northbound 55 at 141 in Butler Hill. Look for that accident. Is cleared. It's just north of Butler Hill. Expect stop-and-go traffic, though. Looked like it was pretty pretty involved earlier. Eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight, look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 between 44 and Doherty Ferry, look for slow traffic due to northbound accident there at 55. Westbound 270 from Old Falls Ferry through West Florissant, look for pockets of slow traffic. Northbound 270 between Dorset and 70, look for slow traffic in the exit lanes. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44, you've got pockets of slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for slow traffic. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for delays around the 270 interchange there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason, you've got pockets of slow traffic there as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for some delays, especially in the left lanes. Northbound Route 3 onto the Poplar Street Bridge is stacked up at the top of that ramp. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank through Mid-Span and into the landing, look for some delays there. Northbound 270 between the between Clayton and Ladue, look for heavy volume there. Westbound 5570 from Illinois Route 3 and the Chain of Rocks Bridge is slow. And eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, look for some delays there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy today, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy throughout the night, then becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 60. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, even a thunderstorm, high in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, cooler, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers. The high will be around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920, WGNU, we have 51 degrees, partly cloudy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 52. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Lizbeth Tanz, co-host of Women Inspiring Women's Authors on the Air program. Join us each Friday from 1 to 2 as we explore the world of writing with local and not-so-local authors. That's Authors on the Air, Fridays 1 to 2 on AM 920 WGNU.
Celebrity voice impersonator.
This is Elvis Presley, and whenever I'm taking care of business in St. Louis, I'm listening to the Sloan Ranger Show on AM 920 WGNU. As the Sloan Ranger would say, thank you. Thank you very much for listening.
The Sloan Ranger Show, weekdays at 5 o'clock, only on AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land with the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
And we're the hosts of Let's Get Wealthy,
investing in more ways than one.
We'll discuss home ownership as a means to build wealth, create positive personal finances, stabilize our neighborhoods, and acquire the American dream.
Tune into our show, Let's Get Wealthy, every Wednesday at 11 a.m. to get some food for thought during your lunch hour. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
Around the world, behind the story. It's the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Liz Brown.
There is a drum that beats steady and strong. It does not know defeat. I feel it high and know the sound of truth. In every soul, there is a memory, a standing tall, the proudest we could be. I cannot fall, for I recall, we were born in majesty.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to tend to, much business to talk about, much things to do. Get up, get to me. I just want to remind you, please, tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall, there will be a candlelight vigil, at 3:30 on Wednesday.
please come down. There will be a discussion about this. And the candlelight vigil on behalf of the St. Louis Public Schools, we have to keep the pressure up. Well, Wednesday is a couple of things going on Wednesday. Wednesday, that's the day that the vote's supposed to go down to give Francis Lay the ability to sponsor a charter school. The ability to sponsor a charter school. You saw what he did. If you liked what he did with the St. Louis Public Schools, you're going to love what he does with charter schools. 26 points of plummeting of accreditation points under Francis Lay, and now he wants to run get money. Now, mind you, in this piece of legislation, it is asking that the state of Missouri pay all of the start-up costs of a charter school. This is the bill that Jeff Smith introduced, that they pay all of the startup costs of a charter school. Isn't that something? The expenses associated with the sponsorship of the charter school shall be defrayed by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Do you hear what I'm saying? Are we supposed to pay for that? And that takes away. We don't get that money back. 1-877-920-WGNU. And we write them a check, and then that's done with. And we don't have any right to see anything about what happens with that money. There's no oversight in this bill at all. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. So tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall. We are gathering for a candlelight vigil, and I would ask that all of you please join. Come on out at 3:30 tomorrow in front of City Hall. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. Get up. Get up. Get to me. Now, while there are all kinds of hearings going on in the United States Senate and in the House, focuses on things like the privatization of Walter Reed by Halliburton, the handing off, the special handing off of these contracts by the insertion by the Bush administration of themselves into a $120 million contract for the maintenance of Walter Reed Hospital. Boy George getting that contract for his friends at Halliburton. The business world is starting to flex a little bit. And they're starting to get a little nervous. A major anti-regulatory offensive begins with, starts this week with a Washington, by the Wall Street Journal and Washington. What's happening? Business is starting to flex. Burdensome rules, costly litigation, hard-nosed prosecutors are killing U.S. companies. Huh? I don't think that's what's killing our businesses. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Yeah, how you doing?
Peter, good morning.
Morning. You were saying that this charter bill that they're going to put out there, the state sponsors that?
The City of St. Louis Public Schools pay for this, and it was introduced by Jeff Smith.
But are charter schools for profit?
Yes, they are.
Well, who gets the profit, though?
The business that sponsors them.
And who are they?
Well, it depends on the business. Edison is a big company that does a lot of charter schools.
Uh-huh.
And if you wanted to start a charter school,
right,
you could try to start a charter school.
Okay.
And if you started a charter school, the money, the profit that you made on top of that would be yours. while the state picks up, and I'm looking at the section of this piece of legislation introduced by Jeff Smith that says, and I quote, the expenses associated with the sponsorship of a charter school shall be defrayed by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
I mean, that's nothing like what we're taught in school about how business and our economy is supposed to work.
That's fact.
I mean, I thought I'm supposed to be an entrepreneur working in a capitalist system where I take my money and I go out and I start a business and then I make the money off of what I earn.
Mm-hmm.
From what I'm understanding, they're taking my money.
That's correct.
And they're making money off of me.
That is correct.
I mean,
it's an obscenity.
I thought when I was taught in school, I thought that's what we were against when we fought Russia or when we were during the Cold War. This whole idea of, you know, the communism, the socialism, and, you know, the market economy is what drives our nation. Apparently.
But you got to understand that when we really look at whether or not this is truly a capitalist society, look at Halliburton. Where did Halliburton make its money? Did it make its money out there in the business world, out in the free market?
No.
No, they made their trillions of dollars. They made it by going to the government and capping their friends, hook them up, and hand them money. So, and it's one of the, it's high on the on Standard & Poor's, isn't it?
Yeah. So, I just wish they would, you know, they would teach us this, you know, they would teach us that oil companies and oil lobbyists are capable of starting wars. You know, they would teach us stuff like, you know, don't work hard, just get in with the government and
get then, a hookup.
Yeah, and they'll hook you up, and then you won't have to do anything.
But then they tell everybody else it's all about pulling yourself
right.
up by your own bootstraps.
Yeah, you need to work. See, the great thing about the propaganda that they give us is that they teach each American citizen that it's our individual responsibility.
There you go. There you go.
And as we know,
there you go.
United we stand, and divided we fall.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are falling pretty hard around here.
Oh, and we're talking about Halliburton's not falling. They've gotten their money, and they're taking the hockey and getting up out of here and going to Dubai.
Yeah.
You know, so we need to and I think that the challenge is on all of the rest of us folks that aren't making the money that Halliburton is, to demand that the people that we elect into office protect us from Halliburton's, as opposed to handing the money off to, in a, can you imagine a $2.4 billion no bid contract?
Well, it's just the way the government works. I mean, people are going to have to get out there and start voting for people who are not interested. You need to start voting for candidates who aren't interested in tweaking the system. They need to be willing to overturn it.
Mm-hmm.
And change it completely, and at least make it to what it's what we think it's supposed to be, rather than what they tell us what it is.
And if I hear that tired old pull yourself up by your own bootstraps, and nobody that, you know, even just spiritually, none of us have gotten to where we are without the help of somebody else.
Yeah. I read these books, and I even saw this Inconvenient Truth by Al Gore, and it's an amazing how this thing works. Is I was reading this book, and it was talking about how most of the American people believe that the government has a responsibility to at least have a minimal standard for the poor people. And then they also, those same people, are against welfare. And then the people who talk about global warming, there's like nine, and Gore had all these statistics about how there were not one single article out there by a scientist that said global warming is a myth. And 50% of the people believe that it is a myth.
Isn't that something?
I mean,
isn't that
it is an amazing propaganda tool that is used out there.
It truly is. And if they can make people think that spam is hamburger, they can convince people of anything.
I mean, I've even gotten into arguments with some of my friends, and I've got them piece by piece to dissect and dismantle their position, but they still can't get over the hump of saying, you know, what it is they're calling it. Like I've had people say, you know that we give subsidies to, you know, big business like auto corporations and stuff like that. You know that's not capitalism. They're like, yes, yes. And I go, so that's socialism, right? And they're like, no, it's not. That's entrepreneurial big business.
That's
and it's like, they can't get over the hump. It's a mental block completely.
Well, it's a, I don't know if it's a mental block as much as it is. This is what happens when you have years and years and years of propaganda that is not confronted with critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for your call, Peter.
Yeah.
1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. James.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Ms. Brown, I'm not sure. The money that he's asking for to build a private school, wouldn't that be that's not right, is it?
I don't think. Well, it's this piece of legislation that's been introduced by Jeff Smith about allowing Francis Slay to sponsor his own charter school is giving our money to Francis Slay to build his own private school. And I agree with you. It's 100% not right. It says right here, the expenses associated with the sponsorship shall be defrayed by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education.
Well, does that only apply to St. Louis public school money?
Yes, or Kansas City. No well, other district in the state.
Well, it looked like to me that even the people in the county should be down there protesting
That's
this
a fact.
Also.
That's a fact. That's a fact. That's why everybody needs to be down
and
there tomorrow.
They should be writing their congressmen and calling them whether they live in the city of St. Louis or not.
It's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Right.
Absolutely wrong. And that's why tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall, candlelight vigil, we need to be down there.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you, James.
Yeah, bye-bye.
1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. Stay with me. I'll be back.
Look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Hi, this is now Hall of Famer Wade Boggs, and I'd like to talk to you about another exclusive group that I belong to that has changed my life. I'm talking about the thousands of guys who, just like me, have decided to take control of their hair loss and regrow their hair permanently with the pros at Medical Hair Restoration. The best thing about this club is that you see the rewards every day. Having my hair back has made me look and feel younger than I have in years. And that's the ultimate vote of confidence.
If you're balding or thinning, Medical Hair Restoration, the nation's leader in microsurgical hair transplantation, wants to send you a free DVD package explaining just how easy and painless their hair replacement procedure is. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832. Take control of your hair loss and get this free information package sent to you with tons of before and after pictures and testimonials. There's no cost, no obligation. Call 800-410-1832. That's 800-410-1832.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Down by the river, taking off my shoes. Jumping in the water, wash away these blues. Now it is the ocean. Current takes hold. Words already been spoken. Tales already been told. Hearts already been broken. Wounds already been healed. Do you wanna be loved? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved for real? Do you wanna be loved?
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. You're on the Wake Up Call.
Yes, Liz.
Yes.
I would like to ask a question.
Certainly.
And maybe you can answer this for me. If you can pay bus companies millions of dollars a year for busing children to and fro in the city and out in the county. How come you can't take that money and pick up the schools in the neighborhood and make them schools where the kids can walk to school? I just don't understand. How can you pay the busing companies all this money? Is this somebody's pocket getting greased or what?
Well, I think we need to go back to the whole DSEG plan and the DSEG agenda and where the money went. It turned out to be the fight for in St. Louis when before the DSEG plan came into be was about putting the same money to the schools that were located within the community of African descent that the schools that were located within white communities got. Instead, we got a busing thing where we're going to bus the babies out to go sit next to white kids in schools that had more money, and the money was going to follow the kids out to those schools, and the school districts were going to get additional money. As a result of that, we lost our neighborhood schools. As a result of that, many, many, many schools out in the county built buildings and improved their infrastructure of their schools as a result of that. And what did we get as a result of that? We got devastated communities, because the heart of a community are the schools and its hospitals and its businesses. And we lost our schools. And not only did we lose our schools, we lost something that was intangible as well, and that is the connection to your community. When you bus babies out to Winsfield, and when they go out to Winsfield, they're taught that there is nothing of value in North St. Louis, then how are they going to come home and feel about their community?
Correct. Yep, you're correct.
We lost so much, and now we're playing catch up in many respects. And in the meantime, I think it's like drugs. People got hooked on that money that the schools could pay out. The bus companies got hooked on it. All kinds of industries that grew up around that got hooked on it. And they got hooked on the ability to be able to reward their political friends by handing out these contracts. So now, even though DSEG is done in a year, the whole DSEG agreement is over in a year, after 20 years of it, they're coming after that money because that money got good to them. And that's what this Francis Slay piece, and that's what the state takeover piece is all about. They got hooked on that money.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. There is a candlelight vigil tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall. Bring your children. And I'm going to share an email in a little bit from one student in the St. Louis Public Schools the reason why we're coming down for this candlelight vigil tomorrow. These are amazing times. 1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Yes. Good morning,
Donna Jones, school board member. Good morning.
Good morning. I'd like to make a comment about the question the gentleman asked about
sure.
the money that went out in the county. Kent King made it most clear, he and Peter Hershen, the president of the Department of Education, that none of that money that's going out in the county is to be touched. The program will not be touched. They're going to keep the program as it is. And they're not going to be accepting a lot of students once the St. Louis Public Schools become unaccredited. So they are making sure that program is not touched.
And how important is it tomorrow for people to come out to this candlelight vigil tomorrow in front of City Hall at 3:30, Donna?
It is so important. As everybody is looking at what is going on, everybody knows that this is totally unfair, that what's going on is illegal, and the future of St. Louis rides on everything that's happening right now in this period of time. We can no longer afford to sit back and say, well, let's do something. Always look at everything that's going on in front of you. It's important people come out tomorrow to find out more information, to find out what's really going on, and to support and say, we love St. Louis Public School, and we love our children, and we're going to be there to support them.
And that's tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall.
Absolutely.
All right, Don, I'll see you then.
Thank you.
1-877-920-WGNU. You're on the wake-up call.
Liz Brown.
Hello on the car phone.
You know, I was listening to you talk about Kellogg Brown and Root and Bechtel and Halliburton and contracting. A lot of people don't realize the worst thing that ever happened to the military was when they brought in contractors to do, let's say, the food service work. People don't realize that when the military was taking care of their own meals, it was the people who were around the individuals every day who were also military members. They were cooking the food for people that they saw every day that they worked with. And when they brought these contractors in there, the contractors are in there to make money. And they're going to do everything they can to cut corners to make money.
That's why they were selling. That's why they were Coke charging the government $3 a can for $10 a can for a can of Coke.
Absolutely. And there was the young lady I remember that was with Kellogg Brown and Root who went to Kuwait. And from Kuwait to Baghdad, she was an inspector and went in there and saw that the Iraqis and the Kuwaitis who were making lunch for the military, they had all the bread laid out on a table, and they were putting mayonnaise on it. Well, there's no heat. There's dust all over in these tents that they're in. And they didn't care. They went on and made these sandwiches, and they fed our soldiers this food. And when she brought this to the attention of her superiors, they ran her back to Houston and fired her. So this is the kind of situations that happen, and it's not only that, with military aircraft, which I was a part of. We were three-level maintenance when I came into the military, which meant we repaired our own black boxes. Well, when they started contracting that out, well, guess what? The quality of the boxes went down because the contractors were out to make money. And that's what's going on right now. You have contractors that are in the military. Look at the hospital. They contracted out there at Walter Reed.
That's right. They contracted through, and it was also a forced contract because it was Brown and, I mean, it was Halliburton and KBR. So they went and got the hookup, and the reason why, and it's not, that's not the only reason, because there are a whole lot of contractors throughout the entire VA system.
Exactly.
So that's just the tip of the iceberg.
And I'm saying that contracting is about making money. They don't care about the people. Like if you had military or civilian workers that do that every day, they're there, they care about the troops, and they're going to make sure they get good care. But you get these contractors in there, they're about a dollar bill.
And not only are they, and not only, because the workers aren't about the dollar bill, the company that hired the workers are there to get their paycheck. They know they'll never see these people again. They don't have to worry about any kind of accountability or even feeling bad about not doing a good job because they don't know any of these people.
That's true. That's absolutely true. So, you know, it's sad, but American people, you need to pay attention to what these people are doing and contracting, like with the, look at the telephone companies. Look at what's going on with the people who are losing their jobs to the Indians and all over. It's just happening all over, and these people and the big corporations are doing nothing but lining their pockets.
That's fact.
Have a good one.
Thanks for your call. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's a nice segue into a conversation that I'm going to be having in the next hour, Body Hunters, a book that has been written about another form of corporate greed. We're talking about pharmaceutical companies, pharmaceutical industries, international multi-conglomerate pharmaceuticals that are found a new place to go practice there, to experiment. And they've gone to the developing countries to do that. We're going to be talking to the author of The Body Hunters when we come back. Stay with me.
Please do not beg folks for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell me, brother,
our truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
That all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Don't ask, don't tell does matter if you ask the nation's top general.
Saying that gays should serve openly in the military, to me, says that we, by policy, would be condoning what I believe is immoral activity.
The Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace, in an interview with the Chicago Tribune, Pace says he bases the views on his upbringing and supports the military's don't ask, don't tell policy in effect since 1994. The families of 17 sailors killed in an attack on the USS Cole are heading to court in Virginia today. They're suing Sudan, arguing that the country's support for al-Qaeda allowed the attack in Yemen to take place. Families are suing in Virginia because that's where the destroyer is based. They seem like a good idea, mortgages for people with poor credit to allow them to buy houses and start to rebuild their financial house. Then the housing sector took a hit. Now homeowners and lenders are feeling it.
The lenders that provided them with the money to give out these mortgages have now pulled back simply because of the alarming number of foreclosure rates. These homeowners are passing back their keys and they're walking away with horrible credit and a horrible story to tell. But then the lenders are also being hurt because they're being left with these mortgages and these homes that aren't worth what they were worth when they were purchased.
ABC's David Muir. President Bush meets with Mexico's leader today. He'll discuss immigration and drug trafficking with President Calderon. Well, only in Las Vegas do they celebrate the implosion of a building like this. There were fireworks before the old Stardust Casino came tumbling down. The resort was a favorite hangout of the Rat Pack and the home base for Mr. Las Vegas himself, Wayne Newton. This guy said he wasn't going to miss it.
Honestly, like, I'm a little sad because it's old school Las Vegas leaving us, but that was pretty cool.
A new casino will be built on the site of the Stardust. This is ABC News.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our Design Print and Ship Depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at OfficeDepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
When was the last time you got a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Look, your tax problem could get worse unless you get help. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation. You could save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call 800-539-9208. That's 800-539-9208.
They'll be honoring the man many film fans consider to be the king of cool later this month in central Missouri. Here's ABC's Dave Schreiber.
I'm interested in engineering. I'm interested in motorcycles. This is my emotional outlet.
Steve McQueen grew up in Slater, Missouri. In Slater, Steve McQueen Days will be March 23rd to 25th to match the time that would have been his 77th birthday. McQueen died in 1980 at age 50 of lung cancer. He was born in Indiana, but he spent much of his childhood in Missouri. It's hoped that Steve McQueen Days will help boost tourism for the farming town 200 miles northwest of St. Louis.
That's where it's at, man.
Dave Shriver, ABC News.
60s girl group The Ronettes performed last night at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremonies. Also honored punk rock poet Patti Smith, college favorites R.E.M., Van Halen, and the first rap act to go into the Hall of Fame, Grandmaster Flash, and the Furious Five. I'm Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brinsmeyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, St. Louis County Police have taken a 14-year-old boy into custody after the shooting of an 11-year-old. The incident happened overnight in Wellston. The victim has been hospitalized and is expected to make a full recovery. Police say they could not question the accused shooter because his parents are out of town. The 14-year-old has been turned over to the family court. Police say they aren't sure whether the shooting was intentional or an accident. St. Louis University officials are warning students about a rash of break-ins. While students are away on spring break, someone has apparently been stealing high-priced items from apartments. Officers believe that many of the students left their doors unlocked because there have been no signs of forced entry. School officials are urging students to lock their doors and are also promising to improve security on campus. Finally this hour, Jason Isringhausen is getting ready to make his official return to the mound. Izzy is scheduled to make his Grapefruit League debut on Thursday after a hip surgery 6 months ago that could have ended his career. With Braden Looper and Adam Wainwright being moved to the starting rotation, Isringhausen is hopeful that he will return to the form that made him the Cardinals' all-time saves leader. Manager Tony La Russa says that Isringhausen may start Thursday against the Los Angeles Dodgers. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brinsmeyer for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at this hour's traffic and weather. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Lindbergh. Look for a disabled vehicle. At the stalls reported at West Florissant, the incident's being cleared to Lindbergh, so expect some delays on that ramp. Eastbound 40 between Ballas and McKnight, look for slow traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood, look for slow traffic there as well. Northbound 270 at Tesson Ferry and Doherty Ferry, look for delays around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road, look for some delays there. Northbound 270 at Dorset through 70, look for delays in the 70 exit lanes. Northbound 55 from Arsenal through 44, expect delays there. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some slowdowns. Eastbound 44 from Soccer Park through 270, look for some delays. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from 3rd Street onto the PSB, look for some slow areas there. Northbound Illinois Route 3, that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge, look for some slowdowns. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank into Laclede's Landing, it is slow, go at best. Northbound 270 at Clayton and Ladue, look for heavy volume there. And that is a look at this hour's traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. For today, look forward to partly cloudy skies, high around 80 this evening. Partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, low around 60. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms with a high in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy, another chance for showers, even a thunderstorm with a low in the mid-50s. And on Thursday, mostly cloudy, a 50% chance of showers is expected, a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have mostly clear skies, 52 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 54. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. Up next, more riveting radio with Liz. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg folks for
very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother,
but the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. They struggle against the common enemies of man, charity, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. My number here is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. And I don't know if you had a chance to watch television last night, the night before that, and on and on and on and on and on. Everybody that has watched television would be able to tell you about how many commercials are on the air pushing drugs. In fact, Americans are, we love our prescription drugs. We love non-prescription drugs. They have actually singing phlegm as part of drug commercials. And Americans are not even offended by it. They go out and buy the product. But I wonder how many Americans out there have ever asked themselves the question. I wonder if many Americans would even be compelled to ask themselves the question. How did those drugs get to us? I mean, given the fact that each person, on the average, in America, each person buys about 10 prescriptions every year. That's a whole lot of drugs. But how did those drugs get to us? I suspect that most Americans have a somewhat of an understanding that, well, before the drugs, this is America. So before the drugs got to us, there had to be some testing. Our government, that's why we have the FDA. That's why we have all of these regulatory agencies out here, because they are here to protect us. It is safe. If once it hits the television set, once it hits the shelves of our Walgreens and Walmarts out there, they must be safe. Well, this morning we're going to take a journey, a walk, if you will, along the trail of tears that leads to your ability to be able to pop a drug in your mouth. We're going to talk this morning about the pharmaceutical companies, where they have gone to test their wares, at what cost. At whose life? At the expense of whose life? We're going to have that conversation this morning when the author of Body Hunters, Sonia Shaw, joins me on the wake-up call. You don't want to miss this conversation. We'll be back after this. Stay with us.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
People can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free information. DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean. Be fit. Be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fee. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
Big Brother is watching, and we're watching Big Brother on the award-winning Makeup Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown, and my guest this hour is Sonia Shaw. She's an investigative journalist. She's also the author of a book, Body Hunting, and she's joining us from Boston. Sonia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I am very good. Thank you. So, Sonia, you think that most Americans are aware of how pharmaceutical companies test their chemicals before they hit the market?
I think people have, like you said in your intro, a general understanding that there's testing done, but I think what people don't probably understand is the scale of it. You know, for each new drug, we need 4,000 people to sign up for experimental tests, and that means 100,000 people have to actually call in and get screened to see if they qualify for these tests, and that's for each new drug, and we're talking hundreds, thousands of drugs every year, so it's just the scale is really quite huge.
Can you start us with the history of this? How did it come to be that we have these clinical tests at all?
Well, it's an interesting story because, you know, in the beginning of the pharmaceutical industry, they didn't have to do any tests, you know, so they didn't even have to say what was in the drugs. They would just, you know, sell these medicines as sort of miracle cures, and nobody would really know what's in them even.
They had, like, cocaine, and three of the there are companies out there that actually put these drugs in there, and babies were dying.
That's right. Cocaine, heroin, these were, you know, common pharmaceuticals at the time. But it slowly started changing with these gigantic tragedies. You know, first, there's a whole rash of deaths in babies because a drug had been dissolved in this solvent that turned out to be highly toxic, and all these children died. And so then Congress moved to enact the Food and Drug Act to say, look, now drugs at least need to be proven that they're not poisonous. The company still didn't have to prove that the drugs worked for anything. They just had to prove that, well, okay, it's not going to kill anybody.
And isn't that, and if we can just slow down just for a second here, because that's a major point right there, isn't it? The fact that our government just had to prove that they were safe. They said the companies had to just have to prove that it's safe and not that they did anything.
Well, if we put it in historical context, though, I mean, at that time, most drugs really didn't do anything. I mean, we didn't have the kind of drugs we have today that actually work very well for things. You know, this was before we had antibiotics, for example. You know, so most of the drugs that were available were really more like painkillers, you know, opiates and things like that.
And also, didn't it, and the reputation of the companies, they were considered like snake oil salespeople.
Absolutely, because, and that's sort of, it's interesting if you look at the history of the drug industry, because it sort of goes up and down where, you know, people, they're sort of popularly hated for a while, and then suddenly they come up with some drug that actually helps people, and then everyone thinks they're sort of God's gift, and then it goes back down again. So it's sort of this cyclical effect in their reputation.
So we have the FDA coming in and making this decision, and how what happens after that?
Well, then we had another big tragedy with the drug thalidomide, where this was a drug that was being sold in Europe, and also it was starting to come into the United States, and it was a drug aimed at pregnant women to counter their nausea, you know, morning sickness, essentially. And what happened is it ended up interfering with their babies, and there's all these highly deformed children were being born.
They were called thalidomide babies.
They were called thalidomide babies, and they actually were born with sort of seal flippers, you know, instead of arms and legs. So it was really horrible deformities in the babies, and it was very rare before this. And suddenly it all, you know, there was all these babies being born like that. And so they connected it to the drug. And Congress at that time took the big move to say, now we need to start testing drugs, not just to prove that they're safe, but to prove that they actually work for something. And that hugely expanded the number of experiments that drug companies had to do.
And one of the things that you wrote about in the book that I thought was fascinating about the thalidomide babies is when they went back to the doctors to try to find the women that had been taking these drugs, the doctors didn't have the records of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that record keeping that's a pretty modern phenomenon, you know, the amount of, I mean, now we can go, anytime you go to the doctor, there's so much paperwork done, but this is just in the 1960s, so it really wasn't that long ago, but the surveillance of who's taking drugs and who's been given these, and at that time it was an experimental drug, so, you know, they didn't even know who they had sent these experimental drugs to. So that's improved to some extent. But even now, you know, once the drug's released, I mean, it's on the market, we don't really know how many, you know, horrible side effects are occurring. I mean, our surveillance of that kind of thing is still pretty weak.
Well, talk to us. Okay, we've gotten to the point now that they have to prove that the drugs work out here. What are the methods that the companies, that these pharmaceutical companies can engage in to get to the proof of this drug works?
Well, there's lots of different ways to prove that a drug works, but the main, you know, what the FDA requires is controlled comparison. So you have to take a group of people, give some of them your drug, give some of them something else, but treat them exactly the same in every other way, and then see what happens. So you see if the people who got your drug actually do better than the people who got the control, the comparator drug, whether it's a placebo or whether it's another drug. For example, so then they just compare it, because if you just look at, you know, take a group of people, give them the drug, well, some are going to get better, some are going to get worse. You're never going to know, well, maybe they got less sick, or maybe this happened or that happened. You know, this is a way to make sure that it's really the effect of the drug that is accountable for any of the changes that happen.
And what kind of time addition did this have on getting a drug to market now that these new requirements were put on the pharmaceutical companies?
Well, it happened at the same time that the drug industry really started making a lot more drugs, too. I mean, the drug industry grew by leaps and bounds over the 70s and 1980s in particular, I mean, tripling the number of drugs that they were bringing to market. So the whole thing was, it was slower to start with, but there was also just a lot more compounds because, you know, the biotech revolution had happened, so there's just a lot more drug compounds to test on new indications and things like that. So what we see is actually more drugs coming out, even though there's higher standards in terms of what they had to do to prove themselves.
Talk to us about the one of the practices of the placebo. How does America look at the use of placebo, and how is the use of a placebo in terms of testing drugs viewed elsewhere?
That's an interesting thing that I look at pretty in some depth in my book. And the FDA has generally said they would prefer new drugs to be tested against a placebo, because then they say they can tell more clearly that this drug actually worked. Because what happened is, you know, the company started testing their drugs against other drugs, you know, another drug that was already available, for example, like in antidepressants. They would test the new antidepressant against an old antidepressant, and the new antidepressant would seem to work just as well as the old antidepressant, so the FDA would say, okay, let's approve that drug. Well, then somebody went back and did, let's test this antidepressant that we've already approved against a placebo, and lo and behold, it didn't work any better than placebo. So this happened a number of times, and so people started thinking, well, you know, we can't just compare it to another drug because we don't really know if that one works either. You know, so maybe they both don't work. So this whole idea of always testing against a placebo became very much part of the orthodoxy at the FDA and among American medical researchers. And that's not true in Europe, where they really do prefer drugs to be tested against another drug that's already been approved. And that gets back down to, how do you do the test? You know, if you have to test your drug against a placebo, that means you have to have people in your trial, your clinical trial, who aren't getting an active drug for, you know, could just be days, could be weeks. Some of these trials go on for years.
And if
these people are sick, then you might really be endangering them.
So that raises a moral issue.
Exactly. So that's where the whole conundrum occurs, is drug companies want to test their drugs against placebo because the FDA likes it, and it's also just an easier standard. They don't have to prove that their drug works better than
another drug we already have.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's easier to say, well, it's better than nothing.
That's what
a placebo trial is telling you.
Mm. And so we have this, but how do other people, what is the general, people outside of the industry, doctors and medical officials outside of the industry, what's their view of placebo testing?
I mean, I think most scientifically oriented physicians prefer to have placebo trials because then they feel certain that, yes, this thing actually works.
But how do they deal with the morality of this?
Well, that's sort of the big issue, you know. I mean, people rationalize it in lots of different ways. I mean, I've talked to people who did placebo trials in children who are dying, you know, and who really could be helped. We know they could be helped with active drugs that have already been proven to be effective, but they're given placebos in these trials, and some of them die. And I've talked to those physicians who do it, and they feel that it's more important to actually know that a drug works so that you can help a lot more people later. You know, now maybe you're endangering some people in that trial, but it's sort of for the greater good. You know, that's sort of the way there's lots of different ways people rationalize doing this, but that's one of the most potent ways, I think, is to say, well, you know, it's so important to people's health that we know that drugs work.
But then the other problem of it is that sometimes people get involved in these, and children get involved in these trials, where there are other drugs out there that could help these kids, and some of these kids are dying involving themselves in this placebo experimentation.
That's right. I mean, the argument that some of those researchers would have is, look, if we didn't do that trial and find out for sure that this drug really does work, then more children will die later, right? Because we'll, you know, if we didn't know and maybe the drug doesn't really work at all, then, you know, we would be giving this bad drug to so many other children, and that would be worse.
Well, when we come back, I want to talk about a particular drug. How is this, niacinamide? Is that
Nitazoxanide.
Nitazoxanide. We're going to talk about that. I'm talking to author Sonia Shaw. She's an investigative journalist and the author of Body Hunters. And this is Liz Brown. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Stay with us.
Good morning, St. Louis. 29 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your weather and your traffic. Here's your traffic. Westbound 270 between Old Halls Ferry and Lindbergh. Look for a disabled vehicle. It's a stall at West Florissant in the right lane, and the incident's been cleared at Lindbergh, but still going to see some residual delays. Eastbound 40 between 270 and McKnight, look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Brentwood, look for slowdowns there. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry through 44, look for some slowdowns around the 44 interchange. Eastbound 70 between 270 and St. Charles Rock Road, you've got slowdowns there. Northbound 270 between Dorset and 70, look for slow traffic in the right lane. Northbound 55 at Arsenal through 44, look for some slowdowns there as well. Eastbound 70 from Bryan Road through 79, look for some delays. Eastbound 44 from Bowles through 270, look for slowdowns around 270. Interchange there. Southbound 270 at 70 in Dorset. Look for some slowdowns as well. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the PSB. Look for slowdowns there. Northbound Route 3 is sluggish at the top of that ramp onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound Kingbridge traffic's moving well into the landing. And westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue into the 5570 split. Look for some slowdowns there as well. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy today, high around 80. This evening, partly cloudy in the evening, becoming mostly cloudy with a low around 60. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy once again, chance of showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-50s. And Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers, high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 53 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 56 under partly cloudy skies. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. What's up next? We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
This is Dr. Laura Schlesinger. Join me weekday afternoons from 2 to 4 on AM 920 WGNU. And I look forward to hearing from you. If you have problems with a personal work or family relationship, call me at 1-800-DR-LAURA. That's 1-800-DR-LAURA for the issues that matter most. It's AM 920 WGNU. And for the personal issues that matter most, join me, Dr. Laura, now from 2 to 4 every weekday afternoon. Then go do the right thing.
School, church, civic, and other nonprofit organizations often have tight budgets. At WGNU, we understand that and remind you that we can help. If you know of a nonprofit group that would like WGNU to help promote events and ongoing programs free of charge, just send a fax with all the information to our public service department at area code 314-454-6609. Requests must be submitted 2 weeks in advance of any event. WGNU Radio reserves the right to edit or reject any submission because of time constraints and objectionable or commercial content.
This is Alan Brainerd. Join me Wednesdays at noon for Design 411 on AM 920 WGNU. No matter where you live, no matter what your lifestyle, you'll find out how to turn your ordinary home into an extraordinary home. My guests and I will give you the 411 on everything from classic design to the newest decorating trends. Join me, Alan Brainerd, for Design 411 every Wednesday at noon on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you and your home.
The people, the issues affecting your life, right here, right now, on the award-winning Wake Up Call.
How
mikono mwa ifwatrasa wame yutimela yashangiti sipambata nanebo kabla nkine mali bengizotangi panoyiko akusalat ebusubo
yandasa
ngicabangana nawe
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with the author of The Body Hunters. This is, we're talking to Sonia Shaw. She's an investigative journalist. And welcome back, Sonia. Before we get to a discussion about this drug that deals with I guess parasite infections and diarrhea, can we talk about how we got to Africa to begin with? How do pharmaceutical companies, why are they in Africa, India, these places?
Well, what's happened is, as I mentioned before, we've gotten here in America so many drugs available to us now that so sort of the more drugs we have available, the less interested we are in being subjects in these clinical trials. You know, why should we subject ourselves to experimental drugs when we already have a lot of drugs available to us? So, you know, each American takes home on average 10 prescriptions a year, but only 1 in 20 takes part in clinical trials. And like I said, drug companies need to get hundreds of thousands of people to call in for trials for each new drug. So there's this huge demand for more people for these trials, but there's not enough interest here in the U.S. and also in Western Europe and Japan, which are the main markets for new drugs. So what the companies have started doing, especially over the 1990s, and it's sort of been accelerating since then, is starting to export clinical trials to poorer countries, less developed countries in South America, Asia, Africa, et cetera.
And you've shared in your book about the glee almost that these companies have in discovering this brown gold, this black gold over there.
Yeah. Well, the fact that they can recruit patients so rapidly is like it's huge to them. I mean, here in the States, they could spend months and months and months, and actually their trials could just fail because nobody would sign up. And still they'd be spending so much money, you know, with the marketing and calling people and trying to get people in to come in for testing. Whereas if they go to India or South Africa or somewhere like that, I mean, people are just lining up right away because they don't have access to other drugs that, you know, in any other way, a lot of them, because there's poverty and the drug prices are prohibitive and things like that. So there's just a lot more willingness to be part of these trials.
And that willingness is based in part in, like you said, that the hospitals and the opportunities are not there, but also this hopefulness that they are actually seeing a doctor, that being part of this trial for these people that are allowing themselves to be experimented on is like going to a doctor. It's their only chance to see somebody in a white coat.
Yeah, absolutely, because, I mean, if you go to some of these hospitals, as I did when I was doing research for the book, I mean, you look in the waiting room and there's just, you know, there's people waiting all day, and they've traveled for miles to come sit in this crowded room and wait all day, and maybe they'll get to see a doctor and maybe they won't. They'll get sent back, you know, to come back the next day. Whereas if they get into a trial, you know, they get the cell phone number of the doctor, they get to see them regularly, you know, they get all this attention, not just for, you know, being in the experiment, but also all of their other health conditions too, because of course to get the data sort of up to standard, they have to take care of like all the background illnesses, you know, and they'll get the drug for their malaria and their hypertension and all the rest of it as well.
And you also talk about in your book that one of the things that the pharmaceutical companies have discovered in places like Africa and India, that their patients will take a degree of experimentation that you wouldn't be able to get away with in the United States, like shunts or devices that are larger than normal, making bigger holes in people than procedures that we don't even do in the United States.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, here, the international standard is if you're in an experiment, you should get the same standard of care that you would get, you know, as good as you would get if you just went for regular care. Well, that's been interpreted in different ways. So people go to these poor countries and they say, well, you know, we can give them a placebo even though if this person was sick and came to my practice here in the United States, I would give them an active drug, but we can give them a placebo if they're living in South Africa because this person is poor and they wouldn't have been able to afford anything better anyway.
So let's go to Zambia. Talk to us about Zambia and this AIDS experimental drug.
So this is a drug that is actually aimed at a parasitic infection in children and adults, but it's mostly a pediatric drug. And people in the States pick it up from, like, dirty swimming pools and stuff. It's similar to, like, a giardia, kind of a diarrhea. And it's unless you have an immune problem, it would be like a few days of diarrhea, and you'd pretty much get over it. It's not like a, you know, life-threatening illness here in the United States, which is the market for this drug. But, of course, this is a condition that's somewhat rare here. So to test the drug, they needed a lot of people who had this condition, and it was very difficult to find those people here in the States. And so what the company ended up doing is going overseas to Zambia and also Egypt and Peru. Because these are places where there's children are dying of diarrhea every day. It's the main cause of death in children in many of these countries. And Zambia isn't usually a big target for drug industry trials because it is a very, very poor country. There's, you know, one teaching hospital in the country in Lusaka, the capital, and that's where they ended up doing this particular trial.
And when they got to Zambia, how did the study go?
The study was what they wanted to do, they had originally tried to test the drug here in the States, but and they wanted to do a placebo trial, but they didn't get enough people. Nobody signed up. They got like maybe two or three people signed up for the placebo trial here in the States, and then they had a hearing with the FDA, and the FDA advisor said, look, you have to do a placebo trial, and the researchers said, we can't do that here. It's unethical. You know, people are really, they don't want to take no drug, you know, for any amount of time, because here, of course, they were trying to do it on people who had AIDS who really were very, very sick.
And these are people that, and we're talking about the type of diarrhea that is just explosive, that people
exactly.
are wearing diapers, adults are wearing diapers because you absolutely have no control over yourself.
Yes, and it can kill you. If
yes.
you have an immune problem like AIDS, then this is a deadly condition.
So they were trying to
make this drug for those people initially, but then we got antiretroviral drugs online here in the States, and that was just a much better solution for all of these conditions.
But
then they decided, well, instead of making this sort of an AIDS drug, we'll make it for this dirty swimming pool diarrhea, which is a much more mild condition.
Babies that are swimming in pools with their diapers on and the pool water gets dirty and the diarrhea sets in.
Exactly.
So the people in the United States that had it were the AIDS folks, and they were like, why would I, on earth, would I take a placebo?
Exactly. So by the time they wanted to do the placebo trial, we already had antiretroviral drugs, you know, the cocktails, and that was so much better that nobody would ever sign up for a placebo trial when you had this, like, horrible diarrhea that could actually kill you.
So that's fast forward to Zambia.
So then they go to Zambia, and, of course, there it's very different because the disease is much more dangerous because the children are malnourished, and half of the kids who are coming through with that disease in Zambia also are HIV infected. So these are not kids who are getting it from dirty swimming pools who are only going to have diarrhea for 3 days and are going to get better. These are kids who are literally on death's door, and they're being rushed into the hospital. But this is a place when they can actually test the drug because there's a large number of patients coming through with the condition, and they can do a placebo trial, which they weren't able to do in the U.S. So that's what they ended up doing in this location in Lusaka, and not surprisingly, many children died in the trial.
And you tell this story in your book also about, okay, they have these trials and these babies die. And the drugs are eventually approved, right?
Yes.
Did the drugs ever make it back to the place where the kids were tested on and they gave up their lives for the testing of this?
I think that's sort of the main central issue in all of this is Who are these drugs being made for, and who's taking on the risk? Because, in fact, that drug was not even licensed in Zambia. And the people who ran that trial, you know, when I interviewed them several years after the trial had ended, they didn't even have a supply of the drug in their own hospital.
And how many dead babies?
There was over a dozen or so.
We're going to continue this conversation with the author of The Body Hunter, Sonia Shaw. She's also an investigative journalist. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back with more of this conversation. Stay with us.
Hey, St. Louis. This is Syl Wilson. Be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. We'll talk about what I want to talk about. Then we can talk about what you want to talk about. Then we can talk about what I want to talk about again. So be sure and tune in every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday from 4 to 5 p.m. for The Real Deal with Syl. See you then.
Head Thumping Talk Radio with Brett Rosen has a new time, Tuesdays from 10 until noon, right here on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues that matter most to you.
This is your WGNU Global News Update. Dateline Paris. The departure of French President Jacques Chirac has left questions about who he will endorse as his successor. Chirac announced Sunday that he will not seek a third term, ending four decades in politics. Despite a longtime rivalry, fellow conservative Nicolas Sarkozy expects to get Chirac's backing. Sarkozy heads Chirac's UMP party, but has based his campaign on pledges to break with the past. He has said that he was moved by Chirac's speech, but is not presenting himself as the president's heir. Chirac's support could be important amid tight poll margins among Sarkozy, socialist Ségolène Royal, and centrist François Bayrou. Pollsters say nearly half the voters remain undecided. This is your WGNU Global News Update, sponsored by Great Harvest Bread Company.
With a little time and a lot of love, the bakers at the Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store have transformed their signature dough into bread bunnies for Easter. That's right, a rabbit made entirely of honey whole wheat bread. It's a healthier choice for your Easter baskets. It also makes a charming centerpiece for your holiday dinner. Order yours today. 314-991-0049. That's the Great Harvest Bread Store. 9449 Olive Boulevard. The Olivet Great Harvest Bread Store. Making people happy one rabbit, one loaf at a time.
But I am speechless. That's how you make me feel. If I'm with you, I am far away, and nothing is for real.
Welcome back to The Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. I'm having a conversation with the author of The Body Hunter, Sonia Shaw. She's joining us from Boston. And Sonia, can we talk a little bit about how do the people in Africa, specifically in South Africa, how do they get funneled into these clinical trials?
Well, South Africa is a great place for a lot of these clinical trials because there's it's not a very poor country. It has a major infrastructure for sort of the elites in the country. So there's a very, you know, sophisticated medical infrastructure there with.
And before you go, and you talk specifically about the numbers, who gets health care, what their color is in South Africa, because elites doesn't begin to talk about the stark differences.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's still completely a, you know, racialized system there, even though apartheid is gone. I mean, there's sort of economic apartheid, so there's still doctor's offices where there's all white people in one part of the waiting room and then a separate waiting room with all the black people in it, and it's because, well, the white people it's not because they're white, it's because, you know, they're the ones who can pay full fare and these other people can't. So it's sort of, you know, it's sort of apartheid by other means is sort of, you know, what's still happening there. But
and you talk about Asians, even when they go to South Africa, their access to health care is so much better than all of that, the black South Africans.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's people coming from all over the world flying into South Africa for heart transplants and things like that because it's cheaper to do it for them, you know, where meanwhile Cape Town, this beautiful city, is ringed by these, you know, slums that, you know, could be, is like a third world slums all around this city that could be, you know, in the middle of Europe or America. I mean, it's beautiful. Everything's perfectly maintained and things like that. So it's just a really, it's a place with huge contrast between rich and poor, black and white.
So this hospital.
And so the hospital, the main hospitals, the public hospitals, obviously see a lot of poor patients, which are usually patients of color, and they have now started funneling them to these drug industry trial centers to be subjects in these tests. And, of course, these industry trial centers are very high-tech, very sophisticated, very fancy places, you know, quite different from the public hospitals. Where people are waiting all day and et cetera, et cetera. So the people who are the researchers and the doctors who are actually, you know, seeing their patients in the public hospital and seeing, oh, okay, this person has the right profile, I should refer them to the trial center to be in these drug trials. Well, they feel like they're doing their patient a favor, you know, because they're plucking the patient out of this overburdened, underfinanced facility and putting them into the fancy one, you know, where they're going to get sort of more attention and more care, and they're actually going to get reimbursed for their travel time and things like that too. So it's just it just seems like a much nicer deal to send your patient to the trial center if they qualify. So the doctors, you know, the drug companies send emails and brochures and visit all the doctors who have these big practices to tell them, well, these are the trials that we're doing, and if you recruit for us, we give you this kind of reimbursement or, you know, whatever. They have a whole system of getting physicians to sort of recruit on their behalf.
And it started with at the end of apartheid, didn't it? With the hospitals there being funded by the racist government, and they needed a way to make their hospital stay viable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, after apartheid ended, I mean, there's just been a huge crisis for a lot of healthcare, not just in South Africa, but like across Africa and Asia and the developing world. You know, the whole idea of sort of debt restructuring and structural adjustment and all those kinds of things, where healthcare has been privatized in a lot of these poorer countries, indebted countries, and the result is that this giant public hospital that I visited, you know, was really strapped for cash. And one of the ways they were going to try to get more money to run the hospital was by getting drug company money to do experiments.
And Sonia, is there any place out there that is keeping tabs on the failures? Because we're going to hear about the successes because the drugs are going to make it to market. We're not going to hear about the cost, the bodies that pave the path to market. But what about the experiments that fail? Who watches over that? Who's overseeing that?
I think that's sort of the hugest problem, is that whatever we know about is really the tip of the iceberg, because if a company in the U.S. wants to go abroad and do a trial for a new drug, they don't have to tell anybody here. They don't have to tell the FDA. They don't have to alert, you know, any ethics committees here. They can just go over there, do the trial. You know, they have to, obviously, they're supposed to obey local rules and local laws and things like that. But in a lot of these countries, of course, there's, you know, not a very strong legal infrastructure, not a very strong regulatory apparatus. So,
and desperate people.
And there's lots of desperate people. So they can do these experiments. And 90% of drugs that enter into this phase of testing fail to get marketing approval. So a lot of trials are being done that are then just not getting the results they want. Maybe the drug had a bad side effect. Maybe the drug didn't work. You know, any number of reasons why the drug could fail in the testing phase. And that literally means it vanishes from sight altogether. Regulators will never know about it. And medical researchers don't publish negative results. It's just not, you know, it's not a done thing in the medical research world to say, look, I tried this and it failed. You know, you only talk about the things that actually worked.
And I'm resonating with this, that 90% of the drugs don't make it. That means that there's a whole lot of failure out there. How is it that, in America, we're concerned about, or many Americans are concerned about, clothes that come from sweatshops. Okay, I don't want to buy clothing that I know that some poor person was only paid half a cent to sew together these shirts. Why hasn't there been that connect with our drugs?
I think that's a great question. I mean, I think the whole drug industry world of testing is so hidden. You know, I mean, it's really hard to get information about what they're really doing because there's no transparency. And with so many drugs failing and just they're gone, I mean, there's literally no paper record at all. There's just, unless it's in living memory or unless you're actually watching while the trial's unfolding, it's very difficult to get any information about what's happened in the past on these drugs.
And then the people that are the record keepers, they close up shop and they take their boxes of notes with them, and we have no right to go in and see what those notes said.
Absolutely. I mean, it's starting to change because, you know, there's been these drugs that have been tested that turn out to be really dangerous, and then other researchers have sort of raised their hand after the scandal happens and says, oh, well, you know, I kind of knew that would happen because I did a similar experiment and it failed, and I never told anybody because, you know, it was just a failed experiment. Well, now more and more people are saying, look, we need to know about all of that stuff because people's lives are getting endangered because we're testing, you know, we're doing these tests on people that maybe we already would have known that something bad would happen.
And we're going to a place where it's this colonialistic mindset of, well, we're doing something good for these poor, sick people, so they should be able to take, or they should be happy to take whatever it is that we bring to them.
Yeah, it's sort of this attitude of, you know, yeah, it's just a few crumbs, but it's better than nothing. And, you know, it's the same sort of attitude, as you mentioned, that why not send our toxic factories to, you know, these poor countries because these people have no job. Well, a job in a toxic sweatshop, well, is better than nothing, right?
Mm.
So it's really the same argument. But I think there's a huge difference, which is that, and I object to that argument about the sweatshop as well, but at least in that fact, in that scenario, you can say, in the normal course of things, if the person gets a job in the sweatshop, they will get that. But whatever that benefit is, they're going to get it. They're going to get the
True.
Little $2 a
True.
Day or whatever
the
it is. They're going to get
day.
That.
Sure.
But if you're in a clinical trial and you say, well, it's better than nothing, well, it may not be, you know, because every person is going to react differently to an experimental drug. And you don't know that for any individual that they're definitely going to get better than what they would have had if they weren't in that trial. I mean, you can say overall statistically, you know, if you have 100 people, then only 5% are going to have this side effect or something like that. But you can't say which 5%.
Mm.
So for any individual, it's the cost benefit is not the same.
And,
you know?
And it's like going into a jail and saying, okay, sell me your kidney and I'll give you 180 days off. That's a captive audience that is desperate in their decision making. They really can't make informed consent. Can the people that live in Peru and Africa and India, can they truly be, because they're so desperate, be giving informed consent?
I mean, I think that's sort of the, you know, one of the structural problems is people are supposed to be able to take or leave a clinical trial. It's not supposed to be, you know, the best thing that happened to you and you would be a fool to say no.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the way we're supposed to be doing it. Our standard is voluntary consent. People are supposed to be able to say, well, maybe yes, maybe no, and I'll just decide based on what I want to do, you know, because that goes back to, you know, the Nazis when they did their experiments on people in concentration camps, and after that happened, people said, look, we need everyone in the experiment needs to give voluntary consent. And so, you know, there is a real question whether people who are in this vulnerable situation, this coercive kind of environment where they would be foolish to say no, is it possible for them to give voluntary consent? And I would argue that it really, you know, structurally speaking, it really isn't. I mean, of course, there'll be individuals that can, but there'll be many who can't.
And would it be, as fixing this problem, could it be as simple as requiring the FDA to say to any company that wants to sell drugs and to Americans that they provide all of their testing and all of their experimentation to the FDA as part of their efforts to do that?
Well, they probably do submit most of their data to the FDA, but the trouble is the FDA's standards are not, in my opinion, quite high enough. I mean, we should be requiring that new drugs are better than what we already have. I mean, we don't need another arthritis drug that's better than nothing. You know, we don't need another allergy drug that's better than nothing. We need drugs that are better than what we already had. Otherwise, what's the point? It's just making more money for companies and not really helping our health.
And then killing people other places.
That's right, and putting people at risk for those kinds of drugs with really a marginal benefit. You know, I think the overall risk-benefit profile is not really too good.
And that's going to have to be the last word. Sonia Shaw, thank you so much, author of The Body Hunters. People can pick your book up anywhere?
That's right, in bookstores right now.
Sonia Shaw, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Take care. Listen, folks, I'll be back. Stay with me.
More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
So we say to all in this nation who would dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
For the issues that matter most, it's AM 920 WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Aldinger. Say you're sorry, General. That's what a gay rights advocacy group wants Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Peter Pace to do after the general made some very candid comments about homosexuals serving in the military.
General Pace was asked about his views on gays in the military by the Chicago Tribune. His answer was carefully worded and deliberate, his meaning unmistakable. Comparing homosexuality to adultery, he said he supports the ban on openly gay people serving in the military because, quote, I believe that homosexual acts between individuals are immoral and that we should not condone immoral acts. Pace's comments are sure to spark a firestorm on Capitol Hill, where Democrats are trying to overturn the Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy that bans openly gay people from serving. Jonathan Carl, ABC News, the Pentagon.
The Service Members Legal Defense Network says the general's comments were outrageous, insensitive, and disrespectful to the 65,000 gays and lesbians now serving in the armed forces. President Bush's last stop on his Latin American tour is Mexico. He meets with leader Felipe Calderon and may find at least a few demonstrators.
At every stop, President Bush's goodwill trip to Latin America has been plagued by protests, most recently Monday in Guatemala. But anger here in Mexico is especially intense.
It's ABC's Jessica Yellen traveling with the president. The sentencing phase is underway in the case of John Cooey, the Florida sex offender who was convicted of kidnapping, raping, and killing 9-year-old Jessica Lunsford. He could get life in prison or the death penalty. The housing sector has taken a real hit with mortgage foreclosures and payment delinquency rates up. And a lot of those borrowers had adjustable subprime mortgages. So what if you are having trouble making the payments?
In 2006, 12% of mortgages were delinquent. That number is going up exponentially. The banks know it, and they want to try to solve the problem. Pick up the phone and call your bank before this becomes a dire situation.
ABC News financial contributor Melody Hobson, ABC News.
Don't risk an important presentation by letting just anyone print it. Trust Office Depot for guaranteed on-time, high-quality, professional-looking documents. Our Design Print and Ship Depot can print almost anything and ship it almost anywhere. Just bring us your document or go online at OfficeDepot.com and let Office Depot lend you a hand.
Whoa, Office Depot!
When was the last time you got a second chance to save thousands of dollars? If you owe the IRS or state at least $15,000, American Tax Relief is offering you a second chance to eliminate up to 85% of your delinquent taxes. Look, your tax problem could get worse unless you get help. Call American Tax Relief for a free consultation. You could save up to 85% on your delinquent taxes. Call 800-539-9208. That's 800-539-9208.
It was one big party at New York's Waldorf Astoria Hotel last night. The place was turned into a juke joint to honor the class of 2007 for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Here's ABC's David Blaustein.
It was a historic night. Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five became the first hip-hop group inducted into the Hall of Fame. Keith Richards inducted 60s girl group The Ronettes.
They touched my heart right there and then.
Punk legend Patti Smith was enshrined, then performed her most popular song. Following Van Halen's induction, their second lead singer, Sammy Hagar, performed with Paul Schaefer. Alternative rock originators R.E.M. performed a few of their better-known tunes. Then all the inductees jammed and played Patti Smith's People Have the Power. David Blaustein, ABC News at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony in New York City.
More couples are ordering separate master bedrooms for their homes to help their marriages. In fact, the National Association of Home Builders is betting that by 2016, 60% of homes will have separate suites. Daria Albinger, ABC News.
Now, the local report from the WGNU Newsroom.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, the man suspected of attacking and robbing a St. Charles County real estate agent is behind bars. 48-year-old Matthew Wilson was taken into custody on Saturday in Texas as he was looking at real estate with a female agent in Granbury. Detectives say that Wilson has confessed to the attack on the real estate agent 1 week ago. Police say Wilson had business cards from at least 30 female real estate agents across Missouri, Tennessee, and Texas. Wilson is being held in the Hood County Jail on charges including robbery, armed criminal action, and felonious restraint. A Webster University employee has pleaded guilty to stealing from the college. 48-year-old Malcolm Murphy of St. Peter's is accused of defrauding the university out of $625,000 over 4 years. Murphy reportedly set up two sham companies and approved invoices paying the companies for work that was never done. Murphy faces up to 20 years in prison and will have to repay the money to the college. Finally this hour, the NCAA basketball tournament is coming to town. The tourney starts this week, and part of March Madness will take place in St. Louis at the Edward Jones Dome. Upper arena tickets for the three-game, two-day event will be selling for anywhere from $71 to $120. Seats are still available for all three games. St. Louis hosted the Final Four in 2005 and will also be the home of the NCAA Men's Ice Hockey Championships next month. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 6 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton. Let's take a look at your traffic and your weather for this 9 o'clock hour. Westbound 70 between Florissant and Hanley. Look for an accident. Left lane's blocked. It's at Hanley to look for. Stop and go traffic going on there. Eastbound 70 between O'Fallon Park and Adelaide. There's an accident at Adelaide. Two right lanes are blocked. West or eastbound 40 between Spady and McKnight. Look for slow traffic. Northbound 270 from Gravoy through Doherty Ferry. Look for some slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry through Lindbergh. Look for a stall at West Florissant, so that's causing some delays there as well. Eastbound 40 between Bowles and 270. You've got some slowdowns there. Northbound or eastbound 70 from 270 through St. Charles Rock Road. Look for some delays. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Monsanto Avenue onto the top of that ramp. Look for that traffic to be easing this hour. Westbound Kingsbridge traffic is moving well from the Illinois Bank through Laclede's Landing. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street on the PSB, that traffic's easing. Westbound 64 from Bowell Avenue in the 5570 split, look for no slowdowns to report there. Eastbound 70 from K through 79 is finally easing up this hour. Westbound 270 from Illinois 3 through Chain of Rocks, look for no slowdowns to report. Southbound 270 from Illinois, or from 70 through Dorset, look for everything to be easing up this hour. That is a look at your traffic. Now let's take a look at your forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Thursday. Partly cloudy, high around 80 today for this evening. Partly cloudy, becoming mostly cloudy overnight, low around 60 for Wednesday. Mostly cloudy, a chance of showers, highs in the upper 70s. Wednesday evening, mostly cloudy again, chance of showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-50s. Then on Thursday, mostly cloudy, chance of showers with a high around 60. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 56 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 61. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news and your weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing your wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air from the brothers.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
Believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. And if you want to email me, you can do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have all kinds of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. Oh, my goodness, we have a whole lot of stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. Put this on your list of things to do, please, tomorrow at 3:30. Please join us at the front of the of City Hall. We're going to be gathering there in a candlelight vigil. There are a number of fans on behalf of our children and the educational future of our children. Tomorrow there's supposed to be a vote in the Senate about giving Francis Slay the ability to sponsor a charter school, and we would pay for it. It says right in the bill that the city or the expenses associated with the sponsorship of the charter school shall be defrayed by the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education. Now feel that. And one of the callers brought it up earlier today, that now charter schools are for profit. So my governmental money, my tax money, is going to give Francis Slay my money so that he can build a charter school and make money off of it? That hardly seems, and we're not, that's not even talking about his failed efforts at dealing with St. Louis public schools. The loss of 26 accreditation points. We need to be there because the week after that, we're going up to Jefferson City because that's where the vote on the taking away the accreditation of the school is. That's when that's going to happen. So we need to be down at City Hall tomorrow at 3:30. It's a vigil. We are there. There's going to be a lot of conversation. Please show the city of St. Louis once again that we control the city of St. Louis public schools, and we are opposed to anybody else, particularly someone with a failed record, getting an opportunity to make money. And we're paying this person to make money off our schools. Does that feel like you're in La La Land? We're paying you to make money off of me. Huh? My name is Liz Brown. Tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall, be there. I'm taking a break. Stay with me.
This is Mark Glass. Tune in every Friday at 5:15 for What's New at the Movies on AM 920. I sit through the bad ones so you don't have to and give you an early heads up on the good stuff. So for advice on getting the best mileage from your entertainment budget, join me, Mark Glass, for What's New at the Movies, Friday afternoons at 5:15 on AM 920 WGNU, where we discuss the issues and the movies that matter most to you.
If you have suffered roof damage from the recent severe weather, Phil Person Roofing is still a name you can trust. Licensed and certified for commercial and residential jobs, Phil Person Roofing offers free estimates for all work. To contact Person Roofing, call this special emergency number, 602-1047. That's 602-1047. Phil Person Roofing, 602-1047.
We all know the scenario. You see a for sale sign and think, I want to invest, but real estate is complicated. Well, help is here. Hi, I'm Lorraine Davis, home mortgage consultant with Wells Fargo.
And I'm Jacques Land of the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis.
We're the host of WGNU's newest show, Let's Get Wealthy. Our show provides real techniques for the everyday consumer on how to own a home and build wealth.
Tune in to Let's Get Wealthy every Wednesday at 11 a.m. because today is the day to get wealth for yourself. Sponsored by the 100 Black Men of Metropolitan St. Louis, Wells Fargo Housing Foundation, and produced by the Platinum Group.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Heard you thought about committing suicide. Was it your pride that made you want to die? Leave your mama, wonder why, and your baby get to cry. And was it over a jilted lover, trusted brother, operating on to make you turn your back on your God. Tell me what you find for. Let him go. Please don't want you no more. What you dying for? Stupid. Never know. Once your eyes are closed, fall she rolls.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, 1-877-920-WGNU. And if you want to email me, do that at revolution@lizbrown.com. That's revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want a toll-free, 1-877-920-WGNU. 920 WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920 WGNU. You're on the wake up call.
Good morning, Liz Brown.
Irene J. Smith, good morning.
How are you?
I am outstanding. How are you?
We're good. We're good. I'm just calling to let you know, as you probably might have got an email, that the International Urban Institute is hosting a candidates forum for school board candidates this Saturday.
Actually, I've been talking about that this morning.
Okay, I had my baby was in emergency, so I've been, you know, running around, you know, with that. But
okay.
Well, that's good because I had made a commitment that I would call in to. So we appreciate that so much.
And that's this Saturday, and it's at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, that the seven candidates running for the St. Louis Public School Board have been invited to participate in this candidates forum.
That's right, because as you indicated earlier, you know, this is our school system. We will determine who will control our school system. So please come out and come ask the candidates the hard questions. You know, do you support vouchers? Do you support charter schools? You know, what's your philosophy in terms of working with the board and working with the superintendent to improve our school system, and any other questions that you might have that are pertinent to a candidate who would serve on the school board.
And I appreciate Joe Scoggin for getting me the information.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Joe. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Much educational stuff. And here's the thing. I just want you all to just take ownership of the extraordinary wins that we have had, the extraordinary wins that we have had about our schools, about our educational system, the wins of A, we defeated A, B, C, and D. We elected Claire McCaskill. We elected Lewis Reed. We had 1,200 people to show up at our school event. We defeated vouchers. We've done amazing things, but the battle is still on. We have our candidates forum on Saturday. That's wonderful. That's cool. And that's at 9 o'clock at 1020 North Taylor, the Fire Building. We also have an event tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall. Be there, because right now Jeff Smith is trying to do like what the corrupt Republicans do up in Washington, D.C., hand a political payback. What do they call this, quid pro quo? Got the support from Francis Slay to run for Senate, and now my gift back to St. Francis Slay is I'm going to let you get a school, a charter school. Jeff Smith has introduced a bill that says Francis Slay should be running a school, a charter school. We're going to pay Francis Slay to open up a school and make money off of it. Ain't that some stuff? Joseph.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
How you doing, Ms. Brown?
I am outstanding. How are you?
I'm blessed today. I have no complaints, Ms. Brown. I just want to share with you, first of all, I'm sorry with what's happening in the public school district. I really am. I feel for the children. I was in education for 4 years, but my reason for calling is to say that the St. Louis Public School District is really, at this particular point, not the only district with problems. My wife and I are experiencing a host of problems in the Maplewood-Richmond Heights School District, and especially with the superintendent there.
And what kind of problems are you experiencing?
Well, first of all, they refuse to answer any of our written requests. Me personally, I've been accused of threatening a basketball coach, which has proven to be untrue, and that is probably one of the most disheartening things to me, because when I was accused of threatening her, I was immediately reminded of Emmett Till. You know, and I know this is 2007, but, you know, things like that still exist today. It's gotten to the point out here where I'm almost afraid to go to my daughter's school, and my wife and I are very proactive parents. There's a lot of underlining things that's going on right now.
And Joseph, we need you to be specific so that people can understand what you're talking about. If you can be specific.
Sure. I mean, basically, we were at a basketball game, and the coach, she's a very disrespectful young lady. And we called a meeting, and because we called a meeting to talk about how disrespectful the coach is.
Well, what did the coach do that was disrespectful?
Well, my wife, my daughter who's on the basketball team, she suffered an injury. And this is just one example. She suffered an injury. And on the court, my wife, you know, went out there at halftime, and the coach just told my wife to just go back to the sidelines. Okay, that's one of the things. The second thing, there's another young lady, she's a straight-A student on the basketball team. She was placed off the basketball team because they said she missed practice, okay? And when my wife and her cousin, my wife's cousin, which is the daughter who plays on the team, went to speak with her, they just basically didn't entertain any of their concerns. And everything that we have done, and those are just a couple of minor examples, but everything that we have done to speak with them, they have come back with things like, I threatened coach. My wife was a substitute teacher there. They took her off the substitute teachers list and had, you know, we asked for reasons for all of this. And to this day, Ms. Brown, we have received absolutely nothing. Superintendent called my wife last night. And when my wife requested these things, once again, the superintendent hung up on my wife.
Well, have you put any of these things in writing?
Everything that I'm speaking with you about has been clearly done.
Okay.
Everything.
Okay. So you know that they've received that information?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So what is your next step?
Well, we're actually going to attend the school board meeting, you know, this coming Thursday. And we invite, you know, those of you who may have family members in the Maplewood Richmond High School District to attend.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're doing everything in a very diplomatic fashion. We've done everything in a very professional, like manner. Yet they continue to come back and try to discredit us.
And here's one of the things that I think that you need to also consider doing is joining collaboratively with other. We've always made the point, those of us that have been fighting on behalf of St. Louis Public Schools, what happens in the St. Louis Public Schools, so goes the rest of the school districts all across this state, and
yes,
really all across this country. So it would be helpful for you, and just for a number of different reasons, to be around supportive people on your issue, and maybe to even find people that are facing the same types of things that you're facing in Richmond Heights there to work collaboratively. So I invite you to come out to tomorrow at 3:30 to the candlelight vigil that we're holding on behalf of St. Louis Public Schools, because there you will find like-minded people, people concerned about the same issue, and people that are working collaboratively on this issue. That's how often change occurs. Fighting one couple at a time doesn't necessarily tame the beast. You need to work collaboratively, and I invite you to come out to the candlelight vigil tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall in downtown St. Louis.
And we accept the invitation, and we will be there, and I will bring myself to your attention, and I will like for you to know that we have formulated a committee. So it's not just my wife and myself.
Excellent.
And I'm going to let you go, but I graduated from Vashon High School back in the 80s, and I have attended, you know, the board meetings in the past, so I'm very active, you know, been a mentor, and so, you know, we're pretty decent parents, I think, and our committee is what I believe threatened the superintendent and the school board.
Bring it on, bring your whole committee down. Come on, I'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank you for doing what you're doing.
Oh, no problem. I'm committed, and because I have to be.
All right, now. That's a great point. Committed because we have to be. I like that. I like that motto. Committed because we have to be. 1-877-920-WGNU. 1-877-920-WGNU. My name is Liz Brown. We have much to talk about. We'll be back. Stay with me.
can't stop talking about the remarkable results they get with their Bowflex Tread Climber machine.
I lost over 20 pounds working out on the Tread Climber.
I've lost almost 10 inches off my waist.
The Bowflex Tread Climber machine combines the stepping motion of a stepper with the walking motion of a treadmill. It's the low-impact way to burn up to twice the calories of a treadmill at the same speed.
It's really strengthened my core, my abs, and there's no impact on my joints.
Call 1-800-888-7635 for a free informational DVD.
I'm in better shape now than I was 20 years ago.
Get a Bowflex Tread Climber machine for no money down and payments as low as $24 a month.
I'm 40 and I am in the best shape of my adult life.
Be lean, be fit, be Bowflex. For a free DVD, call 1-800-888-7635. 1-800-888-7635. On approved Bowflex credit card purchases, monthly payment is 1.5% of the purchase plus any late fees. The number of months you pay and total amount of minimum monthly payments depends on additional purchase and account balances. Call for details.
Do you feel confident about your money? If you're not sure, then join me, David Gaines, each Thursday morning from 11 to noon as we discuss the issues that affect your money on It's Your Money, presented by Heartland Bank. We'll have insightful guests discussing the topics that affect your money. That's Thursday mornings from 11 to noon for It's Your Money on 920 WGNU.
Securities offered through Securities America Incorporated, member NASD SIPC. David Gaines, representative Heartland Bank and Securities America are unaffiliated. Securities have no bank guarantees and are not FDIC insured and may lose value.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
The flower waiting. Like a light bulb in a dark room, I'm just sitting here waiting for you to come on home and turn me on.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. Now, this is going to cause a bit of a stir. Help me with this. Help me with this. Representative Pete Stark. United States Representative Pete Stark, Democrat of California. He is the highest ranking elected official in the United States to say out loud, I don't believe in God. Ooh, Lord. Lord, he said he does not believe in God. Wow. Holy cow. Holy cow. That's right. Congressman Pete Stark of California says that he does not believe in a supreme being, making him the member of Congress, the highest ranking elected official in the United States, to publicly acknowledge he doesn't believe in God. The American Humanist Association plans to take out an ad in the Washington Post congratulating him for his public stance and highlighting other people that do not believe in a God. And it's interesting it should be interesting how this plays out. This may be the opportunity for Republicans to hop up on their Bibles and beat Pete Stark, you know, as proof of what's wrong with the Democratic Party. And his declaration came in response by the Secular Coalition for America to find the most prominent non-believing politician. Wow. What is this? What impact is this going to have? You know, just think about it. Living in this society right now that is so intolerant of all kinds of other religious beliefs to begin with. When you have imams that are praying in an airport, imams, those are like priests, folks. Those are like reverends. Imams that are praying in an airport, getting their rugs out, kneeling, and then when they get on the airplane, they are kicked off the airplane. In America. And then when they go to get, go back to the airport to get their tickets, the American Airlines, not Russia Airlines, American Airlines says, okay, we'll give you your money back for your ticket, but you can't buy no tickets on this plane. So how is America? Bring us your tired, your weary, your whatever, whatever. We will embrace and absorb you all. How is America going to view the statement of a United States congressman saying, I don't believe in God, a higher being? That's huge. That's a huge thing. And because, and mind you, Congressman Stark has been in Congress since how long you think he's been there? You think he feels pretty secure in his seat since 1973? He said, I am a Unitarian who does not believe in a supreme being. Like our nation's founders, I strongly support the separation of church and state. I look forward to working with the secular coalition to stop the promotion of narrow religious views in science, marriage contracts, the military, and the provision of social services. Unitarian Universalism describes itself as creedless, meaning that it has no underlying authoritative statement of religious belief. Some members believe in God, others do not. There was a poll that was taken not too long ago. Well, last month. 45% of the respondents said that they would vote for a well-qualified presidential candidate who was an atheist. Now, I just want to ask you this as you think about this. And some of you are turning your nose up at the idea of this. How did it work out for us to have a Bible thumper like Boy George in the White House? How did it work out for us? Ask the Iraqi people, the hundreds of thousands of dead Iraqis, how that whole connection to Bible and God worked out. We've had the Bible thumper, and I would say that we got a thumping as a result of that. I would say that there are many, many children that are not receiving Medicaid. Many people that don't have jobs, many people that are suffering in this country as a result of the Bible thumper, Boy George, I would say we got a thumping. 45% of the respondents to a poll said that they would vote for a well-qualified presidential candidate who was an atheist. 95% said that they would vote for a Catholic candidate. 92% said that they would vote for a Jewish candidate, and 72% said that they would vote for a Mormon candidate. 45% said that they would vote for a well-qualified presidential candidate who was an atheist. 1-877-920-WGNU. This organization, this director of this coalition that deals with secular views, he said, we didn't think that we'd have any member of Congress come forward, and we were very pleasantly surprised at the congressman's candor. You know, I mean, those, and in all fairness to Fox and all of those rabid right-wing frothing at the mouth, folks. You got to feel their pain. What, they don't have anything to talk about. They can't talk about the war because that means that they would have to talk about Walter Reed. That means that they would have to talk about Halliburton's contracts to clean up Walter Reed, the $120 million contract. They can't talk about the war. They got to talk about, unless they want to talk about Walter Reed. They can't talk about their president without having to talk about a pardon of a convicted Scooter Libby. They can't talk about the war because of all these generals that are coming out saying we need to get out of there and we need a timetable to do it on. Those poor right-wing pundits out there, let's give them some meat, some red meat. Let's throw them a congressman that doesn't believe in God. They'll have something to focus on for a few days anyway. Because that's what they have left to talk about. One single congressman who said, and I quote, that I support church separation of church and state. I am a Unitarian who does not believe in a supreme being. Let's give the rabbit a little bit of red meat. Let him go after Congressman Stark. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's my phone number. And if you want to email me, that's real simple at revolution@lizbrown.com. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number, or fax me at 454-6609. Get up, get up, get to me. Those poor Republicans. Golly, golly, Miss Molly, they don't have a whole lot to talk about. Bless their little hearts. They don't have a whole lot to talk about. They have to get distracted when they try to get something good to talk about. Then they have to deal with stories like, oh, I don't know, people from Hurricane Katrina who are living on trailers being given 48 hours to move out of their trailers by FEMA. Talking about the Yorkshire Mobile Home Park, families displaced by Hurricane Katrina. And FEMA knocked on their door at 9 o'clock in the morning and said, you have 48 hours to get out of here. Now, we need to talk about the 12,000 households in Louisiana that live in these types of settlements, the temporary arrangements that people agreed to go into out of desperation that are being stretched out indefinitely. And all of these trailers, the occupants, they were all renters before the storm. So these were people that had no direct rebuilding assistance from the federal government. And these are people, I mean, that's a whole population. We're talking about 12,000 people. 12,000 people. People say, one of the people that lives in the trailer park says, well, people say we still shouldn't be living in a FEMA park. But take a look at the rents that people have to pay in New Orleans now. Who can afford it? We have dozens and dozens of these places that have popped up since Hurricane Katrina. And all they do, all our good government seems to be able to do is to come in, close them down, and move the people to someplace else. And the someplace else often is really, really hostile. Tangafaya Parish. They wanted to open up some of those trailer parks in Tangafaya Parish. And for months, the Tangafaya officials sought to stop this from happening. People, trailers were moved in the middle of the night. People woke up, and they had a FEMA person standing at their door. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Liz.
Dimitri, good morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm outstanding, Dimitri. How are you?
Peachy.
Very good. That's a new one, Peachy. All right.
I'm listening to your program. I won't use the term enjoying it. You just fire me up every morning, and I just want to hit somebody. Anyway, the thing I wanted to talk about is, you know, we got involved in the Iraqi war. One of the reasons, I'll just jog your memory, was because Saddam Hussein threatened my daddy.
That's right. No, he tried to kill my daddy.
Oh, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
He tried to kill my daddy.
That's right.
And so now history is repeating itself. That's scoundrel, because Hugo Chavez called him a devil. We are now seeing his anger being exhibited by closing down the gasoline stations that make gasoline from Venezuelan oil. I've been to 3 Citgo stations that the gasoline is refined from Venezuelan oil, that they're systematically closing them down. And the fact that Hugo Chavez offered free heating oil to people in New England, he also, I think it was $3 million that he offered to the governor of Louisiana to help the victims of Katrina.
Yes.
And so because Hugo Chavez called him a devil and a terrorist, the price of gasoline is going to go up, and guess why? Because we get 25% of our gasoline from Venezuela.
That's correct. That's correct. So that's more profits for who? For the Friends of Boy George?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And this man acts like a bully. Whenever he's exposed, he has to react. And the American people pay the price. And my solution to this problem, which keeps getting worse and worse, is to reach to the international community to turn things around. Because it seems to me we can't, I know we've had victories, and I compliment you on your participation in those victories which you've had on the local level. But in order to change things, we're going to have to involve the international community to step in here.
Oh, I think that change comes from all of those things, Dimitri. Absolutely, including the international community in a lot of our issues. Absolutely. That is absolutely one way to move change and to make things change. Absolutely.
When Bush was talking to Putin in Russia, Bush justified the war in Iraq by saying we brought democracy to Iraq. Putin's response was, I'd hate to live under that kind of democracy.
Ouch.
And so I do think that we ought to welcome the world community, and that would include you as a lawyer would perhaps know that this would be the most effective way to change things around. Like,
I gotta go. But thank you so much, Dimitri.
Okay,
thank you. Take care. I'll be back after this break. Stay with me.
This is Decent Guy Don, the original conspiracy hunter. You know, the guy that keeps you up to date on all the good guys and the bad guys out of the Council of Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, the Illuminati crowd, and assorted other characters who are squeezing the life out of our great American country. Tune in every evening to hear the thunderous crash as I pull the linchpin from the foundations of the House of the New World Order as it crashes down at 7 p.m. Monday through Friday with the conspiracy hunter right here at WGNU 920 a.m.
Do you think you've been discriminated against at work or when applying for a job? It's unlawful for an employer to harass you or treat you differently because of race, color, gender, national origin, age, religion, pregnancy, or disability. The law also protects you against retaliation for complaining about discrimination. Call the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission anytime, any day. 1-800-669-4000. Equality at work. Your right, EEOC's job. Something for you from WGNU.
Are you one of those people who look at somebody who's big boned and think that's just a euphemism for Twinkie enriched? Are you sick of the idea that we can go to war in Serbia and bomb the crud out of them, but we should stay out of Iraq? If the whole entire pop culture thing, Britney Spears, Super Bowl commercials, and all that stuff gets on your nerves, well, guess what? It gets on mine, too. So if you want someone to listen and understand, listen to me, Brett Rosen, every Tuesday, 10 a.m. on WGNU, 920 a.m.
The monkey pulled the throttle, locomotive jumped the gun, and then I...
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Shadows are falling all over town. Another night in the blues got me down. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Oh, misery, I sure could use some company. My name is Liz Brown. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Please don't forget, tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall, we are gathering for a candlelight vigil on behalf of our St. Louis public schools. There is a vote that is taking place tomorrow that pertains to giving Francis Slade the ability to sponsor his own charter school. Now, mind you, within the body of that legislation, it also says that we will pay for the sponsorship of this. Now, wait a minute. Charter school is a private school. It is a money-making school. So I'm paying Francis Slade to build a school to make money off of it? That's what I'm doing? Y'all need to be there tomorrow at 3:30 in front of City Hall. There will be a gathering, a candlelight vigil in anticipation of our work for next week when we travel up to Jefferson City on the issue of our schools, because that's when the State Board of Education is going to vote on whether or not they're going to take away our accreditation. We need to be there. We need to make that part of what we do tomorrow at 3:30, be in front of the City Hall, in front of City Hall, for a very important gathering on behalf of our students and education, and really the future of the political power here in the city of St. Louis. This issue of what happens with our school will determine what our political life is like, what our life is like here in the city of St. Louis. So I urge you tomorrow at 3:30, be in front of City Hall, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much business to tend to. 1-877-920-WGNU. Things are tough for Republicans. It's almost, I don't know, kind of makes you, put a little skip in your springtime step. Alberto Gonzalez, my goodness gracious, did they say that? Did I say that? Alberto Gonzalez, they're talking about having him step down. He needs to step down because of the political pressure that he has exerted. And there was a beautiful quote, and I'm going to have to paraphrase it. I believe it was Waxman that made the comment that Alberto Gonzalez has been unable to separate the roles that he has played for George W. Bush. He can't separate himself from the role that he played as Bush's personal attorney. And I understand that, because he, as a personal attorney, you are an advocate for your client. And they have a close personal relationship. So they're he's an advocate for George W. Bush. Well, U.S. attorney is, you're not George Bush's attorney. You are all of our attorneys. And he cannot, Alberto Gonzalez apparently cannot separate himself from his role as advocating on behalf of George W. Bush and advocating on behalf of the best interests of United States citizens. And we see that with these U.S. attorneys being told to step down from their jobs, even though they had job approval ratings that were fine. Why? Because they didn't go after Democrats the way that Bush wanted them to go after Democrats. Kevin.
Yeah, I just want to make a couple of comments, and I don't know exactly what direction it's going to go in, but I'm visiting your old city, and just listening to you for just a few minutes, I mean, you take an awful lot of liberty with some of your comments. You had an earlier caller that said that President Bush went to war because they attempted to kill his dad. President Bush never actually said that. The media said that. He never actually gave that as one of the reasons.
Of course he never gave it as a reason, but he certainly said it. Now people have made the connection. I don't think it's a big leap to make, Kevin, when somebody in the course of the run-up to the war mentions, mentions something about the guy that you're going to war with, and by the way, he tried to kill my daddy. Come on. Are we supposed to be stupid?
I'm not saying you're stupid. I'm just saying that the way that you all word it makes it sound like that's one of the reasons he gave, and he actually didn't. Again, that's the media. And
actually,
when you make the leap, I mean, you need to say that at the time that you make your comments.
But here's the thing. Here is the thing, Kevin. We are talking about all of the things that were stated in the course of the run-up to this war as reasons for us to engage in this hostile act and hostile invasion and hostile occupation of Iraq. Now, we've come to find out that the reasons that George Bush specifically gave us for going to war all turned out to be lies. Now, let me finish my thought here. So, when we're talking about all of the things that were put out of George Bush's mouth, whether they were listed as, this is the reason I'm going to war or not, the contributions that he made to beating the war drum and getting people to buy into that war, that was a comment that was made specifically for that reason.
Okay. And it's also a known fact that New York was targeted 9 months into President Bush's administration. And he'd been in office 9 months, whereas President Clinton had been in office for 8 years. And it's a well-known fact that during that time, both the CIA and the FBI, their abilities were greatly impeded by cutbacks, and by changes in the way that they were to obtain information, all those types of things. And that's a factor that I think the media has totally missed when they say
How did you find out about it? How did you find about this greatly known fact? How did you find out about it?
By listening to the some media making these facts known.
Wait a minute, Kevin. Okay, well, you're going in another direction. We only have a few minutes here. Let's focus on the statement that you've made about the media has not been forthcoming with telling the whole story about what happened in our walk up to the invasion of Iraq. The media has talked about the thing that you have said. In fact, they gave George W. Bush a free pass on that. When we look at the trial of Scooter Libby and we look at and deconstruct the Joseph Wilson story, what we find is that this didn't have anything to do with the CIA. This was a manufactured story, this Niger, this yellow cake, and this story that was used as the reason for us to go was manufactured. We know that now. So this doesn't have anything to do with 8 years with the Bill Clinton regime. This has to do with what George Bush told us, and he knew it not to be the truth. And also, we have George Bush's administration suggesting and saying that Saddam Hussein had something to do with 9/11. That's a lie.
We also have his regime saying that
they have this yellow cake in Niger and we've got to go.
Can I talk for a minute? I mean, you got the whole morning. Let me make a few comments.
Go right ahead, Kevin.
Okay. The thing in regards to that is President Bush saw the same information that all the senators and all the legislatures saw when they did vote on this war. And I admit now that a lot of that information was incorrect. But it was due to the CIA and the FBI not providing the proper information. He had to make a decision, yes or no, based on the information that he had. And at the time that he made that decision, the senators and the Congress went right along with him. It was only after some of this other information came out that everybody got to play Monday morning quarterback. And in regards to Joe Wilson, the New York Times, if you go back and you look at it, the New York Times did a couple of stories where half of the information that Joe Wilson came back with were total lies.
What half? What are you talking about, Kevin? What half? What half was a lie?
Okay, for instance, they said that President Cheney approved his trip. That's not true. His wife approved that trip. And
his wife suggested that trip. His wife suggested that he go. What does that have to do with whether or not what he said was accurate, which it has turned out to be?
No. He had alternative motives. He wanted to embarrass.
And what's wrong with that if it turns out to be true? So let's say I'll give you that.
Of course it was true.
I gotta go. Of course it was true. Why would Dick Cheney involve himself in this to the degree that he involved himself in this if it wasn't true? If they weren't concerned about that, why would Dick Cheney expose the name of a CIA operative if they weren't concerned about the truth of this getting out? Of course it was true. And a little middling fact about who sent him to Niger doesn't have anything to do with what he saw when he got there. Doesn't have anything to do with what he reported when he got there. It wasn't true. And he knew it wasn't true. And Cheney knew it wasn't true. And George Bush knew it wasn't true. They wanted to go to war. They needed a reason to go to war. And then they gave us a reason that was a lie. And you can blame it on Bill Clinton all you want to. You can stick it on Bill Clinton all you want to. What did that Republican say? The buck stops here. The buck stops at the front desk of the man that's in the seat of the presidency of the United States. And for any whining Republican that wants to come out here and say it's Bill Clinton's fault, shut up. It's George W. Bush's fault. He lied, we died, and it's time to impeach him. My name is Liz Brown. I'll